News Network. A day after the House of Representatives voted to pull out U.S. troops in Iraq by April 2008, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice urged patience. She said congressional critics should wait until September to make a judgment. Rice also said the Iraqis have made progress and it shouldn't be dismissed as inconsequential. The latest government status report on the Iraq war suggests that the troop reinforcements that President Bush ordered as part of his troop surge may have to stay in Iraq until the spring of 2008 to meet the military's goals. Two Republican senators today said that President Bush should seek a new authorization from Congress to continue the Iraq war. Senators John Warner and Richard Lugar recently both criticized the Bush administration's troop buildup and want to narrow the U.S. mission in Iraq. A 23-year-old Iraqi journalist working for the New York Times was shot to death on his way to work in southwest Baghdad. Yesterday, two Iraqi staffers, a photographer and driver who worked for the Reuters news agency, were killed in East Baghdad. In Miami, U.S. prosecutors rested their case in the terrorism trial of Jose Padilla. He is accused of taking part in a North American Al-Qaeda cell. In Lebanon today, there has been fighting between Islamic militants and the Lebanese army at a Palestinian refugee camp. British Prime Minister Gordon Brown said that his country is not shifting its foreign policy away from the United States. In a speech yesterday, one of his ministers told an audience that a country's strength depends on alliances, not military power. North Korea's military wants to have direct talks with U.S. forces to discuss the security situation on the Korean Peninsula. The proposal was carried by the official Korean North News Agency. The International Nuclear Watchdog Agency now says Iran will allow its inspectors in the country. Earlier this year, Iran banned the IAEA inspectors from checking its heavy water reactor. The latest AP poll finds that 24% of Americans approve of how Congress is doing its job. That is down 11 points from May. President Bush's job approval rating is at 33% in the poll. A private memorial service was held today in Austin, Texas, for Lady Bird Johnson, the former First Lady who died earlier this week at age 94. This is the Quality News Network.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm washing my car. You want to help?
No, I don't want to be a polluter.
Whoa, I'm not polluting. I'm just washing my car.
If your car wash water is going down the street and into the bay, then you're a polluter.
Oh, really?
I'll help you clean this up, but what you should do next time is go to a local car wash.
And pay money?
Pay money for them to recycle the water and keep all that pollution out of the bay. I think it's really worth it.
Taking care of the marine sanctuary is your duty. From Mayos at Monterey High.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
There has been an increase in reports of the number of side effects from the popular diabetes drug Avandia. Federal regulators report the complaints have tripled recently. New government statistics find that fewer high school students are having sex in the U.S. Also, more are using condoms. The report also finds that the teen birth rate has hit a record low. The New York Times reports the Consumer Product Safety Commission is preparing tougher safety rules for imports. Broader inspections and harsher penalties would be mandated in response to the recent tainted and unsafe products from China. A federal jury came up with a mixed verdict in the trial of media tycoon Conrad Black. He was convicted of a total of four counts, including three counts of mail fraud and one count of obstruction of justice, but was acquitted on nine other counts. The 62-year-old faces a maximum prison sentence of 35 years and a penalty of $1 million. The Commerce Department reports that retail sales in June were down by the largest amount in nearly 2 years. They dropped 0.9% last month, which is more than economists had expected. There was decreased demand for autos, furniture, and building supplies. Light sweet crude trading at $73.95 a barrel. And at the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow Jones set a new record high close up 45 points at 13,907. The NASDAQ up 5, the S&P 500 up 5. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov.
Okay! Don't you! brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Six minutes past the hour, and can you believe it? We have made it to a Friday already. Don't the weeks rush by? Someday some genius, some super micro macro physicist is going to find out that time is not fluid and constant. Oh, wait, that already happened. That would be Einstein, wouldn't it? I'll leave that to the rocket scientists in the room to straighten me out on. But Lord, the weeks fly by. And we're at the end of another one. And I frankly don't know, I don't know where to begin tonight. Let's see, we could follow up a little bit on last night's story. The Hindu prayer in the Senate disrupted story, in which a creep from Operation Save America announced that America has been turned on its head when you know, remember these creeps in the balcony were screaming, "This is an abomination! Jesus is the one true God." I guess his daddy retired. I don't know. I don't know how he got to be the one true God, Jesus. I you know, maybe he gets to be the one true God when daddy goes on vacation to make a new universe or something. But anyway, that's what they were hollering. And so as a consequence of that, they were removed and charged with misdemeanor disruption of Congress. Gently, of course, because they would scream that they were being persecuted for their... Well, that's what they're going to scream anyway. Because the goober at Operation Save America has announced that this is the proof that America has fallen from her ways. When the Christians get arrested instead of the Hindus. No kidding. Really. Really. And, of course, the story came out behind this. It turns out these three people who screamed in the Senate gallery, these monstrous SOBs, a father, a mother, and their daughter, had come to Washington, D.C. to lobby against the hate crimes legislation, for it would restrict their God-given freedom of religion, which is, of course, a lie. But of course, the Republican minority will do everything they can to stop it. And George Bush has promised that he'll veto it because you don't have a right to be gay in this country and not have your damn guts stomped out. Because the Constitution does not apply among Republicans, at least in their minds, the Constitution does not apply to people who have sex the wrong way, or a different way, or another way. If you've been listening to Strictly Confidential following my program, you'll know that Peter Godbold recently examined an article from Cosmopolitan magazine telling women different ways to get it on with their guys that involved marbles and donuts and Jesus. And this is the crowd that has the temerity to suggest that no, see, but anyway, the Pavkoviches were in town in D.C. to protest against a law that would curtail their right to stomp the life out of people who have sex differently from them and then not be prosecuted for it. Okay, And what happened is when they got their American Family Association action alert, they realized that they had to stay in Washington, D.C. for another day or so, so that they could go into the gallery of the Senate and scream their full stinking idiotic heads off. Yeah, really. Not kidding. And as a consequence to that, what they did is they said that they went into the Senate gallery and they stood there and they waited for a senator, a Republican senator, a man of God, to stand up and object to the prayer. And when they didn't, when some Republican senator didn't, they stood up and started screaming in their own right. And as they were being handcuffed and led away, they said, "We are Christians and patriots." This was after they had hollered, "This is an abomination. Jesus is the one true God." That's not going to sit well with the Muslims, because they think it's Allah. I don't know how it's going to sit with Jewish folks, because they tend to think it's Yahweh or Jehovah or the name that cannot be spoken, several different other names, El. Now, what was that? And by the way, just so you can know, because we didn't have this at hand yesterday, just so you can know what was so objectionable, Rajan Zev, who led the prayer, he said, and this is a quote, it was in English after all, "We meditate on the transcendental glory of the Deity Supreme, who is inside the heart of the earth, inside the life of the sky, and inside the soul of the heaven. May he stimulate and illuminate our minds." And then he said, "Peace, peace, peace be unto all." And that is what caused the right-wing religious fundamentalist idiots, the morons, the yahoos, to begin screaming, "This is an abomination! Jesus is the one true God!" Peace, peace, peace be unto all. Well, of course, you see, that's the thing. While Yeshua himself would have stood up and said, "I'm down with that! I do peace! I do peace unto all!" The right-wing religious fundamentalists don't do peace. They do stonings and stompings and killings and murderings. Now, this story has a little bit of a side story. And it's kind of gossipy, so I hope you'll forgive me. But I was reading this. I was reading over at TPM Cafe, you know, Talking Points Memo, this morning, and I was reading the blog thread on this. And you know, TPM Cafe is a pretty liberal place. And I saw a remark by a liberal, a progressive, who said of the Pavkoviches, "These hillbillies need to go the hell home." And you know, it kind of went through me like a dose of salts. And I tried to get all registered up over at TPM Cafe, because I was going to set them straight and tell them if they wanted to hear a damn hillbilly, they could tune this program in and get all the ignorant hillbilly they could stand. But I didn't, because registration turned out to be, you know, freaking ordeal. But, you know, please bear in mind, we are up to our eyeballs in problems on our own side. I'm a nice guy. I'm a sweet guy. My wife and children love me. But I'm a hillbilly. I am a sure enough hillbilly. I live in the heart of Appalachia. And see, this is what breaks us up and splits us asunder. Because you know that when somebody uses a word like hillbilly, you can guess pretty much most of the time where that's coming from. It's coming from an urban center that is north of the Mason-Dixie line. And it's coming from somebody who's probably read a book like Whistling Past Dixie that says, "Screw my progressive brothers and sisters in the South. We're going to ignore the South and let the South continue to languish until we can isolate it and choke it to death and let them go on voting Republican, and we'll govern by taking New York, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, Washington, Oregon, and California. And Florida, maybe Ohio." And that is their idea of building majority. I think it's crazier than a sprayed roach. So there's your update. There's what caused the uproar in the right-wing religion industry community. There's what caused the uproar at the American Family Association. I made a call to the American Family Association today, but they wouldn't have anything to do with actually being confronted with their bigotry and their hatred. Neither will Operation Save America, because they won't go on the air with someone who has the intellect to whip them down the ignorant rat hole where they live. Okay? But there's the cause of all the grief. We meditate on the transcendental glory of the Deity Supreme, who is inside the heart of the earth, inside the life of the sky, and inside the soul of the heaven. May he stimulate and illuminate our minds. Peace, peace, peace be unto all. Harry Reid said, if people have any misunderstanding about Indians and Hindus, all they have to do is think of Gandhi, a man who gave his life for peace. Oh, I'm sorry, the names of the people who were Ante Nedelko. Okay, I'm getting old now. Yeah. Ante Nedelko Pavkovich, Catherine Lynn Pavkovich, and Christian Renee Sugar. Their hometowns were not immediately available. I'm guessing they're not from West Virginia or Appalachia in general. By the way, a reminder, coming up this evening, we will be having a conversation with Robert Greenwald. He is the filmmaker who brought you Walmart, The High Cost of Low Prices. And he is also the creator of Iraq for Sale. Iraq for Sale will premiere on television tomorrow evening, Saturday, the 14th of July. Bastille Day, as it turns out. 14th of July at 10 p.m. Eastern and 10 p.m. Pacific on Starz Cinema. If you've got it, take a moment, take an hour or two, and watch it, because this is a complete deconstruction of the entire Iraq nightmare. Robert Greenwald doesn't just do stuff. When he sets out to take apart some piece of right-wing garbage, you may rest assured that he will take it apart down to a submicroscopic level. And this film does that. We'll be talking to him at the bottom of the hour. The other thing that I was inclined to lead off with this evening. Yeah, I know. There's stuff that Bush said yesterday, and we'll get to that. I've got his comments on Scooter Libby, and you've probably already heard them. And I, It's one of the things, that one of the problems that I have every night when I come on here and get behind the microphone, is I make certain, like I said, I make certain assumptions about your intelligence and about how closely you pay attention, because I see your emails and I know how closely you pay attention. So, therefore, you know, I often wonder if I'm just wasting your time by playing sound bites like this, because I figure you probably already are cognizant of them. But no, we've got Dear Leader. We've got his comments on Scooter Libby here in a little bit, and it's enough to send your wretch into the bathroom. It is. And the House of Representatives passed an outright, or at least not outright, but close enough for government work, I suppose, pullout bill. The Senate minority will, of course, stop that bill by filibustering it, and Harry Reid will soil his sacred underwear at the very thought of having to stand up to that minority. When in fact, what he ought to do is pull Mitch McConnell aside and say, "Listen, you four-eyed thug," and I don't mean because he wears glasses. I mean because he's a monster who's like got eyes all over his head. You know, he's an alien from another planet. Listen, you creep. You make one move to filibuster this bill, and it'll be the last filibuster you ever make. You interpret that however you want to. And just walk away. And let McConnell sit there and go, But what about the rights of the minority? Oh, we gotta have the rights of the minority. And then if Harry Reid had any cojones at all, he would get in front of a camera and say, "You know, I remember when Mr. McConnell was in the majority and he didn't think much of the rights of the minority, and I think about as much of the rights of the minority as he did then." And if they filibuster this Iraq pullout bill, it will be the last filibuster that ever happens in the Senate. And I'll make sure of it. And I will bust back to the Stone Age the first man that tries to stand in front of me and stop it. Because, see, as Democrats, we have this little cohesion problem, apparently. I have proof of it here in front of me in the form of a report from the Associated Press. Headline: panel votes to restore Cheney funding. I can't tell you what it means to me to get up in the morning and start doing my morning routine of checking through the wires and the newspapers and yada yada yada, and I got to see this crap. I mean, before I've even got the first cup of decaf down me, I'm seeing this stuff. It's enough to send you to the liquor cabinet. It really is. Because you remember that the House had plotted to, planned, whatever, to cut off the funding for Richard B. Dick Cheney and his office. And then a compromise was hammered out, and it moved on to the Senate, the funding bill did. Well, there was a Senate Appropriations Committee vote yesterday. And that Senate Appropriations Committee vote was 15-14 in favor of funding Richard B. Dick Cheney. Funny. With a majority in the United States Senate on the part of the Democratic Party, one would have to wonder how you get a 15-14 vote in the Senate Appropriations Committee, because there's more Democrats in the Senate Appropriations Committee than there are reptilicans, by at least one. There's more Democrats than there are repubes. So that means that some Democrat had to go mugwump. Wonder who that Democrat was. Well, I'll tell you straight out. That Democrat was a sort of Midwestern version of Joe Lieberman. A Joe Lieberman with shit on his shoes, if you will. That Lieberman wannabe was Ben Nelson of Nebraska. The 15 to 14 vote in the Senate Appropriations Committee came after the House last month, yada, 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 yada. Senator Ben Nelson, D, Nebraska, get rid of the D, will you? Switched his position from a subcommittee vote Tuesday. Now, what this was about was withholding $4.8 million of budgetary money from Richard B. Dick Cheney's the budget. Because Richard B. Dick Cheney's office still refuses to comply with an executive order that governs the handling of classified information. You remember that the first argument that they made was that Richard B. Dick Cheney was not a member of the executive branch. Remember? That he was, in fact, the mysterious fourth branch of government, the secret branch, the black branch of government, as Gary Trudeau called it in Doonesbury in the last couple of weeks. Well, that didn't fly. That's what caused the problems in the House version of the funding bill for Richard B. Dick Cheney. This time through, however, he's got a new ruse. Fred Fielding, the scumbag, sleaze bucket, son of a bitch, who provided legal counsel to Richard Nixon trying to hold back the flood tides of democracy when Nixon was trying to undermine the Constitution. Fred Fielding sent a little letter around and explained to Ben Nelson of Nebraska, who, having bought into this argument, is surely a potential candidate for the purchase of real estate, lakefront real estate in the Gobi Desert. Fielding sent this letter around that insists the office of president and vice president are exempt from the executive order authored by George Bush himself because they are not executive branch agencies. They're the president and the vice president. They're not really agencies. And Ben Nelson looked at that and went, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, that's the truth. They're not real agencies. They're George Bush and Richard B. Dick Cheney." Now, in response, Nelson said, and I quote, "The president has the power and authority to issue executive orders to do exactly what he wants." Let me repeat that for you so that you can see what we're dealing with in this Lieberman of the Midwest. The president has the power and authority to issue executive orders to do exactly what he wants. If the president wants to declare that your freedom of speech no longer exists, he has the power under an executive order to do exactly what he wants. If he wants to declare that you are an enemy combatant, you, yes, you, out there making the brownies, Ben Nelson, senator, ostensibly a Democrat from Nebraska, says that he has the power to do exactly what he wants. Want to wage perpetual war for perpetual peace for all time? Ben Nelson says the president has the power through executive orders to do exactly what he wants. Wonder if Nebraska has referendum and recall. Do we have any Nebraska Democrats left in the listening audience? Have you been burning up Nelson's phone line over this today? I know it doesn't seem like much, but once in a while, it would be nice if the people who called themselves Democrats would actually stand up and act like them. Yesterday in the House vote, we had 10 Democrats cross the line and vote against pulling the troops out of Iraq. Those 10 Democrats should not be allowed to be on so much as the toilet swabbing committee in the House. It's time for some real leadership by Congresswoman Pelosi and Senator Reid. It's time to bust a few asses. It's time to get serious. It's time to bring people into line and get some work done. We sent them there to end the war. It's time to end the war. We sent them there to stop this criminal administration in its tracks. It is time for them to do that thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm just unreasonable. Maybe I'm an idealist. Maybe I'm completely out of my tree for actually believing that our elected representatives should be held to account to do the things for which they were sent to Congress in the first place. Ben Nelson, you ain't no Democrat, brother. It's about 29 minutes before the hour. On the phone with us at this point in time is Robert Greenwald, and I'm very, very happy to have him with us. As I told you earlier, Mr. Greenwald is the filmmaker who created Iraq for Sale. That film will premiere on television tomorrow evening, Saturday, at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on Starz Cinema. Mr. Greenwald, it is a pleasure to have you join us here on the Head On Radio Network.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
I'm really pleased to know that you've managed to get this this onto television, get it to a wider audience, I hope. Can you give us an overview of what sort of approach you took in deconstructing the Iraq War?
Well, actually, what we decided to focus on with this film was the war profiteering. And what we did was we went and focused and told the very human personal stories of soldiers who were working right next to people doing the exact same job, only getting paid three times as much as them because it was private corporations, of mothers and brothers and sisters who had had relatives and loved ones killed, literally killed, because they were working for private corporations who were cutting corners. And what the film is, it's looking at the fact that huge amounts of our war effort have been turned over to corporations making hundreds of millions of dollars. And we tell these personal stories, and we say, look, whatever you may think of the war, what do you think about the fact that the head of Halliburton has made $100 million in the increase in his stock since the war began? Do you think that's right? And that Blackwater is providing security and making millions and millions of dollars for sending over hired, trained mercenaries. And that at Abu Ghraib, there were contractors as well as interrogators who were working for private corporations and profiting.
Well, with that in mind, I mean, you just used the word profiteering. At one point in this time, Mr. Greenwald, there was a sort of mindset that said profiteering during a time of war was almost treasonous. What's happened to that mindset?
Well, it's a really good question. It was the famous Truman Commission, which
the very thing I was thinking of. Yes.
Yes, and said that, you know, at a time of war, there shouldn't be people profiting. Well, what we've sadly had is we've moved to this profit model, and there's been virtually no debate and no discussion about it. And what Iraq for Sale does, it raises the question, and I hope people will see it. And then more important than even seeing it is get involved at iraqforsale.org. You can work with any one of 100 and 115 groups that are working to change this so that profiteering is not allowed to continue, so that as American and Iraqi lives are mounting up, that the corporations should not be taking away millions and millions in profit.
Well, as we hopefully draw this war to a conclusion, Mr. Greenwald, We know that it has cost the American people untold amounts of both blood and treasure. When the bean counters get to it, are they going to say, "My goodness gracious, this war was good for business"?
Well, I don't think they'll say good for business, but it certainly has been good for some corporations. I was in Washington, D.C., testifying before the House Appropriations Committee about this, and literally the members of the House were saying, we cannot find out what we are paying to these private corporations. We cannot get an accounting. We cannot find out how they are taking your dollars, every single one of us. I mean, there are stories in the movie, literally a soldier tells a story. He wanted to do his own laundry, and they said, no, you have to send it out. He sends it out, and the bill we all get for his underwear, $100, that goes to KBR. There are soldiers who talk about buying a six-pack of a Pepsi or Coca-Cola for $40, $50. That's profiting and profiteering at the worst level by Halliburton and KBR.
Early on in the war, we heard about the $29 a day that was being paid to KBR for feeding, $29 a day per soldier for provisioning food to the troops. And then we find out that there was rotting meat and blood and just vile conditions in the mess halls that were being run by Halliburton KBR. Is this the sort of thing, in addition, that comes out in Iraq for sale?
Yes, absolutely. We have someone, very powerful sequence where a man who worked for KBR was in charge of checking on the water supply, and he found that some of the water was infected, and he breaks down on camera in tears about the fact that he was not able to get KBR to do the right thing. Because, again, remember, corporations do one thing very well, which is they make profit. That's what they're legally supposed to do. But they're not there to fight wars. They're not there to win hearts and minds. They're not there to protect the troops. They're not there to build hospitals and roads for the Iraqi people. They're there to profit. And this obscenity that we've allowed to happen. Now, fortunately, the film and people like your listeners all over the country taking the film and screening it at schools and libraries and churches and any place there's a television screen has made a difference. And there are a lot of members of the House of Representatives now who are saying we cannot let this continue.
What? Now, I'm liberal, I'm progressive, I'm pro-peace, I'm anti-war, Mr. Greenwald, but I should think that your film will also speak to people who have a greater degree of respect even than I have for the military, and I have a great degree of respect for the military. I hate to see what's happened to it. What does the profit motive do to the ability of our military to get the job done?
Well, you make a very good point, and in fact, in the film, there are many people who are much more conservative than I am, many people who vote very differently than I do, but they share this common belief that this is not patriotic to allow this profiteering to be going on. And there are people, conservative think tanks in the movie, who are concerned about the waste of the tax dollars. Because just on the, which has been a conservative issue in the past, no longer, but about being fiscally responsible and careful with our money. Well, this is an obscenity, the way these corporations, I mean, get this. There are no bid contracts, so they just get it without bidding. And then it's cost plus, which means the more you spend, the more profit you make, because the profit is built in. So it would be like on your radio show. How would you like this? The more you spend on the show, the more money you make. That's the contracts we've given to many of these corporations.
It astonishes me. I remember, Mr. Greenwald, at the beginning of the war, the military suddenly finding out that they couldn't get the mail to the troops because no general had the authority to order the private contractor to go into a war zone. When we're dealing with that kind of thing, we really are messing with our own national security, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. And again, it's exactly accurate. And there are serious issues. You know, there was a story last week in the Los Angeles Times. There are now more private contractors in Iraq than there are soldiers. Well, what happens to chain of command? Just exactly that point. What happens if there's a battle? The private contractors don't work for the military. They don't take orders from the military. So you have that problem. And then in the whole area of interrogation, what happens to that information when the private contractor's contract runs out or the individual leaves and goes to work for another corporation? How do you protect, if they get any information, how do you protect that information? So that's why we have a large number of military people in the film, soldiers who are just infuriated about being working next to contractors, as they say, who get paid a lot more of them, soldiers who have to protect all these contractors. Every time there's a private truck goes out that's not military, then it has to be military to protect them. And then you have middle and high-level military people who are just aghast at how this is hurting the institution of the military.
You know, I think about some of the heroic stories that come out of things like World War II, the Red Ball Express, if I'm thinking right. And those were military truck drivers, many of them minorities, African Americans, who were in incredible danger and performed with valor above and beyond the call of duty, as the saying goes. With this privatization of the concept of warfare, that's all gone by the board, hasn't it?
Well, it has and it hasn't. I mean, there are heroic individuals, and there are individuals, some of the truck drivers, by the way, who are hired by private corporations. There's a sequence in the film called The Friday Massacre about Halliburton truck drivers, a group of whom went over there. They were in a convoy. It was ambushed. Some of them survived, and they tell the story in harrowing detail about one of them talks about his friend that he heard on the radio saying, help me, don't let me die in Iraq. And they should never have been sent on that convoy. It was unsafe. They didn't have maps. Halliburton had had information. They shouldn't have gone down that road. There's a lawsuit pending now about that. So there are individuals who are doing the right thing who have said to us and say in the film, I wanted to help the troops. I wanted to go over there and do the right thing. And, yes, I wanted to make the money. I wanted to provide for my family. But when they got over there and they saw the way Halliburton, as one truck driver says, was doing stealing from the government, stealing from the taxpayer, putting Halliburton executives up at four-star hotels while the troops are sleeping on the ground and we, the taxpayer, are paying for it, they were furious because these are good, patriotic Americans.
So what then would be the ultimate outcome of the effect of your film if it was all a perfect world and you could just make happen what you want to happen?
Well, I think that the ultimate, there is solutions here. I mean, there is legislative solutions. The people we've hired to represent us, our elected officials, can impose laws and regulations on how the money is spent, who it is given to, and most critically, what functions in the military should be turned over to private enterprise, and which functions should be, as has been for many, many years. I mean, that's ultimately the function of the state, is the control of violence and turning it over to the private sector, because we have an administration, and not in any conspiracy sense, they're very open about it. They are ideologically committed to privatizing and profitizing any and all functions of the government. That can be stopped. It can be stopped by legislation. It can be stopped by investigation. It can be stopped by members of the House and Senate saying, no, we're not going to allow this to go on.
Is this, does the, you mentioned something a little bit ago, Mr. Greenwald, does the Congress have sufficient information to move proactively on these issues? Or has the White House stonewalled to the point that they don't?
Well, it's a very good question. I think they've got information, and I'm not an expert at this by any means. They don't have some of the specifics they wanted to find out, how much was spent on this contract or how much are we spending going to this corporation. I assume with time they will discover some of that. And fortunately, there is in the House of Representatives Representative Henry Waxman, who does just a brilliant job of the investigations. But I think on the larger level, there certainly can be, and there continues to be, legislation introduced to cut back on the amount of profitizing and profiteering, both in the military and also in the intelligence area, by the way. There's been devastating reports about a huge percentage of the CIA has also been turned over to for-profit corporations. So I believe there are legislative remedies that the White House and the administration will not be able to stop from happening. They're complicated, they're difficult, and that's where the listeners and all of us become key elements. There's that great line, democracy is not a spectator sport. Well, the film is meant to be used as a tool so people can see it on Starz Saturday night. They can go to the website, iraqforsale.org. They can get copies, they can screen it, and then they can get people to do something. And there's very specific stuff in terms of talking to your senator, your member of the House of Representatives, or his staff people, or her staff people, and finding out what are they doing about this.
Well, I certainly hope that you're able to do what you have set out to do, and that is to light a fire under the American people, Mr. Greenwald. I promised your assistant, Rebecca, that I wouldn't keep you on for more than 15 minutes or so, but I did want to ask you before you go if you could take a couple of minutes and tell us about Brave New Foundation.
Thank you. Well, Brave New Films and Brave New Foundation, both, there are two entities, have been set up to do the documentary films and also to do short pieces. So if people, the listeners, want to get our 2 to 3 minute shorts, which are totally completely free, they go to bravenewfilms.org. They can sign up and they can see over on the right-hand side all the other campaigns we've done. So, for example, on Tuesday we went out with a Fox Attacks the Environment, a whole expose in 2.5 minutes of clips from Fox News and how they are, believe it or not, still defending global warming. We went out with an Impeach Cheney campaign. We've had 300,000 people look at that video in a very short period of time. We did pieces about Mother's Day and Father's Day. So it's this whole year we'll be focusing on doing, both in the foundation and in films, these 2 to 3 minute stories, political, with actions involved. So people can see them. They can see the Fox Attacks the Environment. They can put pressure on Home Depot, which claims it's an environmentally positive company, to withdraw its advertising. And there's lots that people can do, because, as you know, you get some of these short videos, you look at them, and you hit forward. And then they go to people, and they get spread. And that's how we're getting literally hundreds of thousands of people viewing them and sending them around. So I'm really excited, because it's a really good tool for progressives. So we don't need millions of dollars to buy a television station or a cable company. We can just get it out there, and listeners and viewers and friends and supporters are taking the shorts and sending them around.
I love the way you think, Mr. Greenwald, because that is the same philosophy that operates behind the horn here. We don't have any radio stations. We're never going to be able to buy any because, frankly, the right wing owns most of them. So we decided we'd set up an internet radio network, and it has proven successful beyond our wildest imagination. I hope, Mr. Greenwald, that you will consider the horn an outlet for what you are doing, both with Iraq for Sale and every other endeavor that you undertake. This is, I think, by virtue of its independence and its non-connectedness to anybody who can dictate what our philosophy is or will be, as good or better a radio outlet than anything else going on in the country. And the next time something comes out, whether it's one of your shorts or whether it's one of your feature lengths, please, please tell your folks to keep us abreast of things and let us help you to get the word out on these important, important, critical issues of our day.
Well, thank you. I definitely appreciate that. I will make sure that you and your colleagues get on our email list, and then we will be in touch as we continue to put out these short pieces and continue to tell the stories that progressives need to hear and that can help energize and activate us, so that, as I say, I don't have to get up in the morning and just be pissed off now. I can do something about it.
That happens to me a lot, yeah. Mr. Greenwald, and if we can take a little bite out of that and make my first cup of coffee at least a little more tolerable. I don't know, it might be 5 or 10 years on my life.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you so very much, Mr. Greenwald, and the very best to you, and best of luck with the premiere tomorrow evening.
Thank you.
Bye now. Robert Greenwald, filmmaker, Brave New Films, Iraq for Sale, 10 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Pacific, on Starz Cinema tomorrow night, July the 14th. Watch this film. You can also see the Impeach Cheney video on the network website, headonradionetwork.com. There's a link to the Impeach Cheney video. This you want to see. I saw this a little bit earlier. And again, like Mr. Greenwald says, it's a short. You're not going to invest a whole bunch of time. And it's you know what this is? This is news. This is journalism. This isn't the lazy crap, the pap, the garbage that the American people have been conned into believing is news by CNN and Fox and MSNBC and CNBC and ABC and NBC and CBS and ABC, the EFG, HIJK, LMNOP. Iraq for sale. The DVD is available through the website as well. And again, what Mr. Greenwald says, take it. Get a library room for the evening. Screen it for your neighbors. Have a little party. You know, get out the chips and the onion dip and the pretzels and the goodies and make some of that wonderful Baptist wedding sherbet punch with the ginger ale stuff. Knock yourselves out and help wake up America to this. Because, again, the issues that are inside Iraq for sale are not, by definition, liberal or progressive issues. The issues that are inside Iraq for sale are American issues. And he's right. The heroes are the truck drivers. You know, we think about the mercenaries being sent over there, as Mr. Greenwald mentioned, being paid 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 times as much as a soldier doing a soldier's job. But there are others. The Indian and South Asian laborers who do laundry for pennies a day for Halliburton and KBR, those are also contractors, and they get conned into coming to Iraq, and they can't go home. They can't go home. Consider the import of that word, home. It's magical. When you're away from it, it's like a god, that word, home. And all you want is to get home. And they can't. And the truck drivers struggle, and they can't. This is America's liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. When I pull out a buzzer, they all wish me luck, like they always did before. With a bulletproof screen on the hood of my truck, and a Bradley on my back door. I wound her up and I shifted, and I offered this prayer to my Lord.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
If you missed Strictly Confidential last week, you missed Gay Fashion Tips.
So I'm sitting here in my Florida State University t-shirt and my pajama bottoms.
You missed what gay DJs name their dogs.
Disco and Boogie are their names.
You missed Lesbian Bible Study.
And that's my favorite line, too, out of the Bible, thou shalt not lie with a man, so I don't, and so what's up with that?
You missed Kiss and Tell.
And this big, tall, handsome Air Force sergeant bent down and kissed me, and I didn't wash my lips for weeks.
You missed The Pursuit of Happiness.
Are you attached, Mom?
Well, see, now this is Strictly Confidential, isn't it?
Stand by your man. Tune in Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for Strictly Confidential, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered conversation radio, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. You know you want to.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right, it's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to WaterUseItWisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water, use it wisely.
Before the hour. An idea of where I want to go this evening? I don't know where you want to go. I won't know until you call. 304-658-5912. Do you want to take a run at Ben Nelson? You want to explain to me why on an issue like this he can't be bothered to be a Democrat? Why he feels it necessary to suck up against the undead, zombie-like, lifeless, soulless, motherless, godless form of Richard B. Dick Cheney? Please, somebody? Am I missing something here? Is there some strategery? Was Ben Nelson actually being wily and cagey and luring Dick into the tiger trap that he's laid for him? Or really, is he just Joe Lieberman with pig poop on his shoes? I'll leave that entirely up to you. You can inform me. Email's easy, bob@headonradio.com. You know that. And, like I said, 304-658-5912. I wish we got Starz Cinema. I'd like to watch Iraq for Sale tomorrow evening.
Find a friend.
If I had friends, I'd go watch Starz Cinema at their house.
Oh, no, you wouldn't. You'd have to be here. Oh, no, tomorrow's Saturday. I'm sorry.
Duh, Agnes.
Duh.
All right, news break coming up. Light 'em up! It's only three lines. It shouldn't be that hard to do. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. Two Republican senators say President Bush should seek a new authorization from Congress to continue the Iraq War. Senators John Warner and Richard Lugar criticized the Bush administration's troop buildup and want to narrow the U.S. mission in Iraq. A day after the House of Representatives voted to pull out U.S. troops from Iraq by April next year, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice urged patience. She said congressional critics should wait until September to make a judgment. The latest government status report on the Iraq War suggests that troop reinforcements that President Bush ordered may have to stay in Iraq until the spring of 2008 to meet the military's goals. U.S. troops have killed six Iraqi police officers in a gun battle today. The dead were suspected of having links to Shiite militiamen backed by Iran. In yesterday's report card on the war, the Iraq government got a failing grade in its efforts to rid the police of militia infiltration. A 23-year-old Iraqi journalist working for the New York Times was killed on his way to work in southwest Baghdad. Yesterday, two Iraqis working for the Reuters news agency were also killed in east Baghdad. The Associated Press says the most recent national intelligence report on Al-Qaeda, that Al-Qaeda possesses most of the tools necessary to launch another attack on U.S. soil. The security analysis also warns the terrorist group is escalating attempts to smuggle operatives into America. 6 years after 9/11, several victims will have their lawsuits heard against airlines and their security contractors. A New York federal judge scheduled the trials for September. A team from the International Atomic Energy Agency is set to arrive in North Korea tomorrow to monitor the planned shutdown of the country's nuclear reactor. An oil shipment from South Korea also arrives tomorrow, a condition set by Pyongyang before it would consider the shutdown. Following 2 days of meetings with members of the UN's nuclear watchdog agency, Iran has agreed to permit inspectors into its disputed reactor. British Prime Minister Gordon Brown said that his country is not shifting its foreign policy away from the United States. He was countering remarks made yesterday by one of his government ministers. A private memorial service was held today in Austin, Texas, for Lady Bird Johnson, former First Lady. You're listening to QNN.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have 4 convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our 4 branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank, SBA preferred lender and equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Florida's governor, Charlie Crist, has signed new environmental protection orders requiring limits on greenhouse gas emissions and the use of renewable energy. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger was at his side. He already adopted similar legislation. Sunken treasure may be behind the boarding of a marine exploration ship. Spanish authorities forced the ship into port for inspection. They want the explorers to positively identify a sunken ship off England's coast that has yielded $500 million in treasure. The Spaniards believe the treasure may be theirs. The New York Times reports the Consumer Product Safety Commission is preparing tougher safety rules for imports. Border inspections of imports and harsher penalties would be mandated in response to recent tainted and unsafe products from China. A federal jury came up with a mixed verdict in the trial of media tycoon Conrad Black. He was convicted of a total of 4 counts, including 3 counts of mail fraud and 1 of obstruction of justice, but he was acquitted of 9 others. The 62-year-old faces a maximum prison sentence of 35 years. At the close of Wall Street today, there was a new record set, up 45 points. The Dow closed at 13,907. The NASDAQ was up 5, and the S&P was also up 5. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Christen.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
5 past the hour. I have been reminded via the magic email that one does not necessarily need to do TV. But there are a lot of people to watch Iraq for Sale, but there are a lot of people out there who have Starz Cinema, and folks at Brave New Films are very excited that they're actually getting television distribution for this program. I've been reminded to join up Netflix at pennies a day, and that there are great, great documentaries available there. Our good friend Timber in North Carolina makes that recommendation. And I will endorse the same. Of course, I also know what would happen if we had Netflix here. It would be, you know, My Friend Flicka, Ponies and Squirrels and Little Girls with Ice Cream Cones. You know, we'd use our monthly allotment for kid movies. I know how we are. Little Mermaids and, you know, Big Elephants and...
Original.
Yeah, right. But you get the idea. Before I do go to the phones, I want to alert you to something, just in, you know, one of those just in case you were wondering moments. I know there are some of you out there, like me, who follow sports because, you know, it's an engaging diversion once in a while. Because if you sit here and you read all this heinous crap all the time, sometimes your head just goes and you can feel it wanting to explode. And so you sit down and you take in a baseball game or a football game or a basketball game. We're coming up on August, and so, you know, August, when the two-a-days start for college football, is the polar opposite to the wonderful, not opposite, but similar, at the opposite end of the calendar, of the wonderful feeling I get when I see that magic little sentence, pitchers and catchers report, in the late waning weeks of winter. It means that, you know, baseball's coming around in one case and college football in the other. And I will be watching my beloved Mountaineers, even though they're sold out to the fiends of coal. The players aren't. I don't know if the coach is, probably. But it's my alma mater, and it's my football team, and I love them. There's no harm in that. And I know, probably within the sound of my voice, there are some Indianapolis Colts fans who were more than thrilled to see the Colts win the Super Bowl last year. Just want to let you know who you're dealing with. Guess whose book is being hustled by the same people who incited people to scream and riot in the Senate yesterday over a Hindu prayer? Guess whose book is being hustled by the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi? You know, multimillionaires who have made themselves multimillionaires off of Granny's Social Security check. Granny will be multimillionaires while you eat the little Friskies. Yeah, here it is. American Family Association special offer good only till July 28th. AFA offers a special on Coach Dungy's new book and several other DVDs, books, and CDs. When Tony Dungy, a dedicated Christian, led the Indianapolis Colts to victory in Super Bowl XLI and made history as the first African-American coach to win the big game, millions of people, amazed by the success of his quiet, authoritative leadership style, wondered, how does he get it done? In the pages of Quiet Strength, Coach Dungy reveals the secrets to his success. Oh my God, help me not to puke. You can purchase your copy of Quiet Strength by clicking here. The list price of Quiet Strength is $26.99. Orders placed by July 18th, AFA suggested donations $19.95, including shipping. Now, wait and see if this thing shows up anywhere on the New York Times bestseller list. See if it's got one of those little swords out to the side of it. That means, because you got to understand, we're so far behind the curve, we think we're on straight road as far as the right wing is concerned. They will buy millions upon millions of copies of Coach Dungy's book through right-wing foundations, right-wing think tanks, right-wing funding organizations, who will then in turn turn them around to places like the American Family Association, who will then sell the book at a loss as a fundraiser to get Granny's little Friskies money. Sons of bitches. I don't even know if any of this has dawned on us yet. I don't know if it has. But just in case you had some, what is it? You are known by the company you keep? Well, Coach Dungy, you might have a look at the riotous, anarchist, radical, dangerous, prone to violence crowd you're running with. As long as Tony Dungy is, as long as his name is associated with the American Family Association, I don't care if he never wins another game, and I don't care if Peyton Manning gets Joe Theismann, okay? I don't care. You are known by the company you keep. And I can never look at Peyton Manning again without remembering the thousands of dollars that he gave to Bob Corker in his Senate campaign in Tennessee. Peyton Manning helped pay for those Jungle Drums advertisements. You are known by the company you keep. Let's go to the phone. Susan joins us from Columbia City, Oregon. Hey, Susan.
Hi, dear.
Howdy.
You said the magic word a while back.
And that was?
Suck.
How so?
On the blog, there is a listing of the latest news stories, and the last one in the line, or at the very top, the headline is, Suck it, baby, suck it.
And, help me here.
The Republicans have themselves another sex scandal.
Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah, he's in the stack. Moving north now from Florida through the Appalachian through the lowlands of the into the Piedmont Highlands and into the Appalachian Mountains, we find ourselves in the great state of North Carolina.
With Representative David Almond, Republican, North Carolina, who has been forced to resign because a female staffer filed a complaint after he hauled his Johnson.
Yeah, there we go.
Pants, chased her around the room, screaming, "Suck it, baby, suck it!"
Oh. I just saw the headshot, and I mean, like, you know, the from the shoulders up headshot of Representative Almond, and my third eye is burning badly.
Yeah, Agnes and I were discussing just that, and I'm sure Sue will agree, and probably almost any other woman. We'll come to the same conclusion. Not if it depended on the survival of the human race would we even go near that man.
Yep, we're extinct.
We'll go down, out, like a light. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and let's see. I'm trying to remember what's... that photograph. I'm looking at WRAL.com, by the way. Dateline Raleigh, Representative David Almond Jr., Republican of Stanley, North Carolina, that's Stanley with no E, is 62 years old, and had his love weasel out of his pants, running, oh my God, suck it, baby, suck it! Oh.
But
it gets better. You know what he does in real life?
Huh.
He's an insurance executive.
Oh, that's it. What cracked me up was this quote that he came up with. A complaint has been filed against me with the speaker. I intend to defend myself against these charges in whatever forum may be appropriate, Almond said in a written statement released by House GOP leaders.
Let's see. House Speaker Joe Hackney confirmed the complaint, and he said, "It's disheartening, but if the allegations made by the complainant are correct, then the resignation is certainly appropriate." What I find interesting, though, is, I'm looking at the story on WRAL.com, which is, I guess, a TV station in Raleigh, North Carolina area if I take the call letters to mean anything. Now, I've read this whole thing, and the suck it, baby, suck it part is not in there. Because, after all, the people of North Carolina can't be allowed to know just how sleazy and predatory their Republican representatives are.
Yeah, Jing, our head news media, found this at Alternet, and it had the whole thing.
I know. See, that's I saw the Alternet thing, and oh, my God. Yeah.
But you got to admit, oh, Lord, this has not been the Republican week.
And look at that photo. You know, just look at the photo, and in your mind's eye, try to animate that person in that photo running around.
Mm.
Don't try to animate from the waist down, but just look at that jowly, sanctimonious, pious right-wing face. And it's something out of a National Lampoon movie, for God's sakes.
Yeah, Agnes and I were debating in chat whether or not we were going to award him, give him the suck it with a sucking chest wound, or just go ahead and bobbitize him.
Oh, Lord. You know, aren't there like pills you can take out there that we could use to calm these Republicans down a little bit, like progesterone or something?
I've got something better. You make it by taking a cherry pit. Bunch of cherry pits and grind them up.
What happens?
You get cyanide.
Oh.
almonds.
I thought that was almonds. No, that's arsenic. Arsenic tastes like almonds.
Cyanide gives you the smell of bitter almonds.
Oh, okay.
But the way you get the stuff is one of the ways you get it is by grinding up.
Now, see, you're the one that got after me last night for wanting to ball bat the people in the gallery. And
no,
there you
I didn't say that I didn't get after you. I just said you would never do it.
Oh, so you were like taunting me then. You'll never do it. Oh, let's get Mikey. He won't ball bat anybody. Hey, wait, he's ball batting them. Hey, Mikey.
It's the same way I could say I would love to ball batize him, but you know very well I would never do it. I would think about it profoundly, and
can't arrest you for thinking.
Yeah, I figure you know, the lady isn't going to convict me for thinking.
True enough. Jesus, this is just amazing. I love the other paragraph in his resignation complaint. You know, anytime hanging on to them family values to the very bitter end.
Oh yeah,
bitter end, he said. In the meantime, I have concluded that it is in the best interest of my family and the constituents of my district to resign from the General Assembly. Yeah, he's not resigning because he flopped it out and ran around the room telling a woman, I can't say it for the third time, I just can't do it anymore. That's not why he's resigning, he's resigning for the good of my constituents and my family.
He should have thought of that before he pulled it out.
God, you know, these social scientists and these people who analyze why things happen in our country and they draw their demographic information and their statistical inferences, it frustrates me so much to see that they never factor in being a member of the Republican Party. Now, I'm not sure. I haven't checked it out yet. I consulted a little bit with Ben Birch on this, but there's a story out, Susan, out of Nashville, Tennessee. Bless the heart of a sort of alert, paying attention, actually earning his pay cop in Nashville. They believe they've solved a rash of serial killings throughout the South. They took down a truck driver today. I can't come up with his name right off the top of my head. But it turns out he was shooting what appear to be hookers at truck stops and dumping their bodies in garbage cans. He's from Illinois. I saw the pictures, and I'm willing to bet a six pack or something with anybody who wants to take it that this guy's a registered Republican. And we never factor in, and I wonder at what point in time, you know, you can't get the Associated Press or any of the newspapers or TV stations or anything to so much as put one sentence in any of their stories on these heinous killers, these rapists, these sexual predators that say, and so-and-so is a registered Republican. Because you know what, Susan? That is, and you know, I'll defer to our good friend, the horn psychologist Rick Goodner, to tell me I'm wrong on this. But it is a factor. It should be a diagnostic factor for sexual predators, serial killers, the most heinous murderers, child killers, stoner drowners. Without fail, you look to these people, and they are either registered Republicans or they have had a Republican family upbringing.
Yeah.
When are we going to realize, because we can't treat the problem, Susan, until we recognize that being a member of the Republican Party is a social disease.
Yeah. You know, like BTK, Tim Bundy, the whole night, Bundy's all... I don't know for sure if Gary Ridgway was a Republican, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
John Wayne Gacy.
Gacy, yeah. Yeah, give me a break. The sheer body count is getting ridiculous.
I mean, when do we call them to account? We are the people of the United States. We... stop it, Bob.
And have you noticed? They all have one other thing in common. BTK, Ridgway.
Yeah?
Bundy. They're really heavy into necrophilia.
Well, you do know that necrophilia means never having to say you're sorry.
Oh, bad, bad.
It also means never having to apologize for being a rotten lover.
Oh, you know, shame on me. Sorry, that was just bad. But
they are. They're really profoundly into it.
I don't...
Yeah.
It's such a dead act. Ba-dum-bum.
Oh, God.
I'll be here all week. Try the veal. Don't forget to tip your waitress.
Oh, one other thing I wanted to mention. I don't do... I'm not all that great into sports. So what I do, and I do it basically every weekday after I've been wading through the right wing muck, there's no way I could go to sleep. So what I do is I get Stephanie Miller on podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't go to bed until I've heard a bunch of fart jokes.
You know, I love her for what she does. I wish I could get her, but you know, it's another one of those that, we are very close in terms of what we budget around here. But yeah, what a joy she is, the few times that I've heard her. And Jim, what's his name?
Jim. You have to ask me that.
Yeah, he's a genius. And maybe he just doesn't want his own show, but by God, he could carry one. Yeah, all the impressions.
The man is, the voice, he's got... He's like Mel Blanc, you know.
I was listening to him one of the few times I got, and that was the first and I'm like Porky Pig. That was exactly who I thought of in reference to him. He is a man of a thousand voices.
Oh yeah, he's incredibly good. But the three of them, they just work really well together. And so and it's a lot of really, really innocent fun. And I like fart jokes. It may be juvenile of me, but what the hell?
No.
Like fart jokes.
Fart jokes, pratfalls, wonderfully bad wordplay.
Abbott and Costello and the Three Stooges. I love them to death.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. The Marx Brothers, you know. I have a passion for all of that. You know, W.C. Fields saying... I keep pulling a liquor bottle out of his golf bag. I keep this in case I see a snake. Ooh, was that a snake? Give me that Canadian club. You know,
yeah.
Golf club, Canadian club. Yeah, it's just brilliant, just brilliant. Hey, Susan.
And then Mae West had her moment.
Oh God. Oh yeah. The dynamic tension between Fields and Mae West in My Little Chickadee is among the great sequences in American comedy. Flower Bell, what a euphonious appellation. Yep. See, it stuck on me. Susan, have a wonderful evening.
You too, and
don't
remember the headline when you need to laugh.
Yeah, I was afraid you were going to say it again, and I was going to say, don't say that.
Oh, by the way, Vitters is going to be going back to work next week, so I will be afforded another laugh every time I see his picture because I will always be wondering.
Well, he may or may not. Before you go, we might as well cover this. He may or may not because, let's see, who is this? LegitGov.org is breaking the story that Louisiana GOP officials are in negotiations with Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco to come up with a replacement appointment for Vitter in anticipation of his, shall we say, sudden resignation.
Ho, 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 ho.
And
there's
it's,
more there.
Oh, yeah, it's, yeah. Well, I mean, it's like that Bruno guy said the other day. You know, he only confessed because he got caught. And what were Bruno's words? I know so. There's more. I know so. And I find it interesting. The diaper remark got almost no traction whatsoever. So, you know, and of course, I don't know if you saw I saw a clip of Tucker Carlson. And here I am talking about TV on the radio, dancing about architecture.
I make it a point not to watch Carlson.
I do too. He was just, but I caught this one where, sir, have you no shame outing his sexual life? What is the matter with America?
Hey, Carlson, where were you in the,
suck it, Carlson, suck it. Yeah, sorry. Did I say that out loud? Sometimes I can't tell when it's my internal monologue and it's what's going across the air.
But it was entirely justified. So.
And in case you were wondering, Vitter is spending more, Tender Vitter, that's what we like, Tender Vitter. He is spending more time with his family now. Unfortunately, his family is having to visit him at the Ochsner Foundation Hospital in New Orleans.
So he really did it?
I don't know. See, that was what I thought. Oh my God, she did it! No, but I think he's in there. He's going to come out and he's going to blame it on booze.
Booze or pills?
Yeah, not pot.
No, pills.
No, it'll be booze, pills, or a combination of the two. And so they're trying everything in their power to make this go away. We cannot risk letting it go away because I got something that needs to be thought about here, and it's just because of the way my tiny little mind works, Susan. There are certain pieces of legislation that the Republicans need every vote they can muster on, and they're down one vote in the Senate right now.
Good. If we can get rid of another one, it never hurts. Even if it's only for a while.
And, of course, Kathleen Blanco, considering all the hell the Republicans have given her, if I was her, I would have somebody handpicked, ready to go, who had gone and I'm assuming that she has to replace party with party on the case of resignation. If that's the case, I would have me a handpicked Democrat ready to go who had done gone and changed his
Switch parties.
Yeah, changed his registration to Republican, and I would stick it in him, and I'd say, suck it, Republicans, suck it. So I guess that's the theme of the show now, isn't it?
Oh, I would love to see that, especially after the way the Bush administration screwed Louisiana over when Katrina hit.
Yeah, and look at the Republican Party and say, sue me. Sue me. I'll have my guy in the Senate while you're suing me. But I don't know if Democrats know how to play hardball like that.
Just warm the cockles of my heart.
I don't know if there's any more of the spirit of Huey Polycarp Long left.
Or LBJ.
Yeah, but I'm thinking Louisiana politics.
Well, yeah.
Just take the meat axe to them and make them like it.
Yeah, that's a good.
Hit them until hit the damn Republicans till they look up and they say, "Oh, hit me again," because you know they're like that. We had the quote from the madam. They like the spankings, Susan.
Yep, they really do. Anyway, I will let you go.
All right, you have a wonderful evening.
Have a nice evening.
Okay.
And I'll see you Monday.
All righty. Bye now.
Bye.
So there you have it. Negotiations underway for Vitter's replacement based upon his sudden impending resignation, and he is reported to be hospitalized at this point in time, finding out that Jesus wants him to stop drinking the demon rum and taking the demon pills. We'll take a break and come back. The phones are open, 304-658-5912, and since it's your nickel, I promise I won't make you wait very long. We'll go straight to the phones coming back if you want to, or I'll just babble away merrily. 304-658-5912. This is America's liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Brought to you by the Republican National Committee. George W. Bush, Maximum Decider.
We keep the evildoers down at Gitmo because they're dangerous. Terrorists learn better when they got panties on their heads and stripes on their backs like the grill marks on a ribeye. If we don't do that, they'll kill you. Because they hate your mama. And they hate your Bible like they hate your friends. Fear. It's what's for dinner.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone. Or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident. That the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady?
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Thank you.
24 before the hour. And in the midst of all the business with David Vitter, we tend to miss out on another number that has come bubbling to the surface of the D.C. Madam's the D.C. Madam's little list. And before we go to it, though, just in case you were thinking that somewhere because MSNBC has Keith Olbermann on that you could somehow trust them, well, you can trust Keith, but you can't trust MSNBC as far as you would throw them. Michael Rosten over at the Raw Story, rawstory.com, is reporting that the MSNBC website has misidentified David Vitter today as, wait a minute, they did it with Mark, it was done with Mark Foley, it was done with others, here it comes, they've misidentified David Vitter as a Democrat. They posted a photo with an erroneous caption with a news story about Vitter coming back, you know, Senator David Vitter, this is the quote, Senator David Vitter, D, Louisiana, may not be Bill Clinton, but he may wish his wife was Hillary Clinton, reads the MSNBC caption. Charming, isn't it?
Thank you, Gene.
Gene found it. Gene the news ninja. He is the news ninja. This is just, oh, God, this makes me sick. Now, I'm sure reasonable minds might say, hey, look, it's the difference of a letter. It's a D and an R. I mean, the D's in the middle of the keyboard, and the R is diagonally right above it. It's just a slip of the typing index finger. Is it? How many times do these things have to happen? Who writes this stuff that they don't know that this sumbitch is a repig? You can't. No, I'm sorry. I'm way too far down the rabbit hole, sunshine. I recognize these. I recognize bad journalism when I see it, and I recognize dummied up journalism when I see it too. This is the latter. What I also find interesting is this idea that he outed himself. The photo with the bogus dummied up caption was accompanying a National Journal story by John Mercurio. His Politoscope column, and it was a discussion of whether or not Vitter would receive the same kind of forgiveness that former President Bill Clinton was granted for his affair with Monica Lewinsky. Well, really don't have any business in that, do they? What happens between a married couple happens between a married couple. I would not presume to mess around inside their marriage. It's not my business. That's part of what makes me a progressive, a liberal. I recognize things that are none of my damn business. On the other hand, it is my business when this freak goes around trying to tell America how to live their lives, whether or not to get, who can get married, when they can get married, where they can get married, who they can love, who they can't love, declaring which religion is the true religion. And Vitter's done all of these things. Now, I find it interesting, as the Raw Story piece notes, that the original caption accompanying the Associated Press photograph that MSNBC grabbed to hang on the story got it right. Senator David Vitter, R, Louisiana, speaks to at a news conference at the Port of New Orleans. MSNBC completely rewrites the caption and makes it D, Louisiana. You tell me if I'm paranoid. You tell me if you don't smell a rat. Never mind my nose, I'll trust yours. and screw MSNBC and screw Mr. Mercurio for daring to compare Vitter going to hookers with Monica Lewinsky. Frankly, if I was Monica Lewinsky, I'd be contacting counsel to sue Mr. Mercurio. Because, after all, prostitution is illegal in most places. And an allegation of illegal activity is something called libel per se. Right? Mr. Mercurio just intimated that Monica Lewinsky was a prostitute. He should be sued. He should be hounded from anything. He should be hounded from his business for that. How much more of this crap do we have to tolerate? Oh, by the way, Mr. Almond, running around. North Carolina saying things that I'm not going to repeat again, even though it's terribly, terribly fun to, well, Mr. Almond, in case you were wondering, is one of those family values Republicans, and he was the vice chairman of the North Carolina House of Representatives Committee on, wait for it, children, youth, and families. When are we going to recognize that allowing Republicans around children is begging, begging, begging for trouble? I wonder how many pieces of hateful legislation he's authored. I wonder if gay folks can adopt in North Carolina. I wonder what Mr. Because, you know, they make pronouncements on this kind of thing. I wonder what kind of pious platitudes Mr. Almond has delivered about the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman and a hooker. And a secretary. And you get the idea. Yeah. Vice chairman, vice, of the House Committee on Children, Youth, and Famblers. Now, I tell you what, I'm not going to keep anybody waiting. Alan's calling in. Hey, Alan, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
Doing well, yourself?
Oh, dodging bullets.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Yeah. I guess I started today on the CB radio. I started mocking George Bush and this one guy. He just, I guess about all he could say is I was an idiot, you know, and I had to just try to coax him to debate with me instead of call me an idiot.
Okay, yeah, I'm an idiot. Okay, explain to me how. Tell me how good George Bush is. You know, and they're hard-pressed when you do that anymore, aren't they, Alan?
That's right. And then part of our discussion got onto health care, and it seems like every time I talk to somebody about health care who doesn't agree with having a national health care system, they all say, well, over in Canada, you have to wait 2 months or something like that, something ridiculous like that, which I don't think is the truth at all.
Well, here in America, if you can't afford it, you have to wait forever, and then you get to die.
That's right. That's not what I told them.
And the thing is, the waiting lists, you know, well, you know, they got waiting lists in Canada and Germany and Britain and France. They got waiting lists. The waiting lists, Alan, are for elective procedures.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, you know, if you want a nose job, you're going to have to wait until they can get around to you because they deal with things that are life-threatening first.
The same in this country.
Somehow that makes sense to me.
Uh-huh.
And it's not to say that you can't go and get a private nose job done, but if you want it done within the national health care, you've got to wait your turn. Now, the fact that, you know what this tells us, Alan? This tells us a little bit about the Republican mindset. There was a study a year or so or 2 years ago that showed that children who were squalling brats who didn't want to stand in line, who didn't want to wait their turn, who didn't want to work and play well with others, this was a 30-year study, and they grew up to be Republicans. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, I can believe that for sure.
Well, this is further proof of the stuff that comes out of that study, Alan, because when you hear the we got to wait in line, we have to wait our turn. See, Republicans think that they were born with some sort of special privilege on them from God Almighty, and that they don't have to wait in line, and they don't have to wait their turn, and they don't have to take their turn, and they don't have to share. The world, the United States, the taxpayers, the Treasury, if they're Republicans, they think it's all their little oyster, don't they?
That's right. It reminds me of a truck driver one time who was getting pretty good pay according to what he was saying. So what he was saying is just like, the hell with everybody else. I'm making good money. Why aren't you folks? You know?
Exactly. You know, yeah, hey,
we don't need no union. I'm making good money.
Yeah, it flows from the top down. I remember when they were impeaching Bill Clinton, and the Republicans were all screaming that all of our children would be having oral sex because of Bill Clinton, because it all flows from the top down. Well, if that's the applicable standard, then everything else flows from the top down from George Bush too, doesn't it, Alan? Because after all, think about it. There's George Bush, you know, born on third base, thinking he hit a triple,
and to lie about a war.
Yeah.
Okay. It seems like it's okay to kill people now, according to these people.
You can lie to grand juries. You can do anything you want to, as long as you've got the money to buy your way out.
That's right.
And
go ahead.
No, please, you.
I was going to say, I got the movie Iraq for Sale.
Yeah.
And in that movie, it shows the Senate, and this is back when there was not so many Democrats in the Senate. And they were trying to bring up this issue about war profiteering. And then there's this senator saying, well, we should get, this is a Republican senator saying, we should get back into the business issues of running this country, you know, as if what the Democrats were talking about was nothing.
Yeah.
And you know who that senator was?
Can't wait. Who?
Jeff Sessions.
How did I know? I can hear that smarmy BS coming out of his mouth. We need to get back to the business. Yeah. Oh, Lord. What is that? He's up for re-election in 08, isn't he?
I don't really know. I hope so.
Golly Moses. I hope somebody can either run him or Shelby out of office. I'd love nothing better than to see Sessions take a good whipping. Because he's a moron, Alan. He really is. I mean, if you handed him a boot full of rainwater with instructions on the heel, he couldn't dump it out.
I know a good lawyer in Birmingham that I tried to get him to run against him. I wish he would.
Me too. I hope there's somebody. I hope there's somebody out there that'll take him on and whip him. Of course, you know he has supped at the PAX troughs and the lobbyist troughs, and I'm sure he's got a few bajillion dollars in his war chest to run his campaign.
Yeah, from defense contractors, of course.
And insurance companies and pharmaceuticals, you know, the usual suspects.
That's right. Hey, today when I was in this debate with this guy on the CB radio,
mm-hmm.
he tried to tell me, if you don't like it, you should go to Canada. So I told him, in a democracy, everybody should have their point of view. And then he turns around and tells me that this is not a democracy.
No, it's a republic. Oh,
yeah,
God.
That's what he tried to tell me, is some kind of republic, some kind of talking point. I think it comes along with right wingers.
Yeah, if you're a right winger, you have to always say that it's a republic and it's based on you can't even say it's based on democratic principles. You're not even allowed to say Democrat if you're a card carrying Republican.
Mm-hmm. I told him that this was a representative democratic republic. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a republic based upon it's a republic based on principles of representative democracy.
Uh-huh.
That's usually, but their hair stands on end. It's like holding a mirror up to a vampire when you say democracy to a Republican. They hate it. They hate the idea of it.
And it's crazy when a truck driver tries to tell you this.
Well, see, he's got a lot of. He's not doing what you're doing. He's not informing himself. He's not availing himself of anything in the way of facts. He's just cruising up and down the road, listening to whoever comes in on the AM band, whether it's Limbaugh or O'Reilly or Hannity. Borts, you know, that whole creepy crowd.
Yeah, I figure that every time a truck driver tells me something like that, if I could go over to a right-wing website or something, I could find out that that's just one of their talking points.
That's exactly the case, Alan, because what happens, they just repeat things. They're parrots. They're authoritarians. They're not expected to think. They're encouraged not to think. They're just supposed to absorb the information and then regurgitate it.
That's right. And then he tried to deny the fact that there's 46 million people uninsured. He tried to get me to tell him where I got those facts from. And I didn't tell him that I got the facts from Bernie Sanders and Tom Hartman. So when I finally got to a truck stop, I looked it up, and it sounded like it comes from the Census Bureau.
It does. I mean, that's the kind of statistics that the Census Bureau generates. Now, of course, you know, you mentioned health care and uninsured people. One of the latest things that there are so many things out there. You hear them and you just kind of scream quietly to yourself, Alan. If you're behind the wheel, you just kind of have to grip the wheel a little bit tighter and make sure that you don't go off into a phone pole. George Bush has now declared that the Children's Health Insurance Program, CHIPS, you're familiar with that? The Children's Health Insurance Program, according to George Bush, is socialized medicine.
That's what he's claiming?
Yep, he called it socialized medicine.
Well, so what? We drive on socialized interstates.
You're darn right.
We have a problem. Somebody breaks in our house, we call the socialized police department.
The socialized fire department puts out the fires.
That's right. It's we the people. What's wrong with that?
Well, you know, but see, the Republicans are you know, all the way back to Nixon and McCarthy, and so they're red baiters. And again, what you pointed out a couple of minutes ago, they have not had an original idea in the entire history of their party. All they can do is go back to the same old tired bugaboo scare tactics, and that's one of them. If you can go to the doctor when you're sick, you'll be a communist. And the sad thing is that there are people out there who go, yep, sure enough.
I imagine everything that's happening now in this country, it seems like everything has happened in Italy and Spain back in the 30s.
Yeah.
Destruction of unions, just middle class being destroyed, the middle class having to pay taxes to help the even poor, and the wealthier people getting tax breaks and getting even more wealthier.
Yeah, getting away literally with murder.
That's right. They did that too back then. I heard that the poor people who fought for their rights wind up in jail, and wealthy people sent their thugs out to kill people. They got away with it.
Well, that's what. Yeah, the brown shirts in Italy under Mussolini, they were thugs. They went out and they beat people, they killed people, and this is before. And I've heard our friend Joe Vecchio mention this in the mornings. When we talk about fascism, most people tend to think in terms of Nazi Germany. But while they were fascist, if you really want to study the model for it was invented more or less by Benito Mussolini and his cronies. And he saw it as a marriage between corporations, the power of corporations, and the power of the state. How much more of that definition do we need to have thrown up in our faces here in the United States before we realize we're dealing with a fascist institution now?
Mm-hmm. And some dictionaries that point that out.
It would be, and it needs. But what we got to do is we do what you're doing. We need more people doing what you're doing. You know, out there on the CB or talking in line at the grocery store, telling the people at the meat counter or the deli or whatever. You know, expressing yourself, talking to people, making them think, even if they disagree with you. If you've got the courage to say things and to engage in dialogue and discussion, then we can begin to find the common ground, and then we can talk about the ideas that can join us, as opposed to falling into the Republican trap of getting sucked up in all the potential arguments that divide us.
Yeah, you got that right. Yeah. I try to bring up the subject every time I can, because I think two of the subjects that's always been thought of as taboo is a subject that we need to be talking about, because they seem like they just fester up and get to be like a poison, and that's religion and politics.
Exactly. Well, Alan, it is so good to hear from you. What you headed home yet? Or are you still still up in the Midwest?
I'm heading to Arkansas to the Ozark Mountains.
Oh my goodness! Well, it'll
where's cool.
Yeah, that will be nice. Hopefully, nice and cool down there. Certainly, is a beautiful, beautiful part of the country.
Uh huh. Well, I love your show.
Well, thank you very kindly, Alan. You drive careful now.
Okay. Bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye now. Our good buddy, Alan, the trucker, out of Alabama. Last night we heard from him in Indiana, and tonight he's headed for the Ozarks. I could not do what he does. I have so much respect for the folks who do that kind of thing, because that is an incredibly difficult job. I mean, there's times that I'm terrified operating the family truckster. I can't imagine having you know, something like a semi under my control. Whew. And winter, you know, when you get those really fun sideways winds and you can't see in a snowstorm and you can't see 50 feet in front of you and you got to keep howling along at 70 miles an hour because you got to get there. The things that American people do who work for a living. Driving truck, climbing power poles and fooling with thousands and thousands of volts of energy, electricity, wiring houses, welding, you know, the hanging drywall and living in that filth and dust, and the back-breaking dense weight of a sheetrock, hours upon hours upon hours, standing on your feet behind a cash register, hours upon hours upon hours, and watching humanity come by, most of whom are pretty surly, and managing a smile and trying to have a kind word. Auto mechanics. On and on and on. The guy at the counter at a fast food joint or what our buddy Spike in Easton, PA does, working at a Starbucks, dealing with just obnoxious human beings and still managing to smile. Thank you, sir. Hope you enjoy it. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. That's, you know, in a way, I don't know how what the appropriate way is to say this, but the value of the American worker is like a religion to me. It beats the hell out of anything else that passes for an institutional religion. Revering and holding in your heart the value of individual human beings who put up with unmitigated crap every day of their lives and get up the next day and go on and get up and do it again. Amen. I'll take that for a religion. Sure enough. Jump right in for the conversation. 304-658-5912. 304-658-5912. You are listening to the worker's voice. You're listening to America's voice, the progressive voice, the liberal voice. You're listening to the horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Network. Two Republican senators say President Bush should draw up plans to begin withdrawing U.S. troops from Iraq. Senators John Warner and Richard Lugar criticized the Bush administration's troop buildup and want to narrow the U.S. mission. They will make their case for a crackdown, a drawdown, next week. A day after the House of Representatives voted to pull U.S. troops out of Iraq by April next year, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice urged patience. She said congressional critics should wait until September to make a judgment. The latest government status report on the Iraq war suggests that recently deployed troop reinforcements may have to stay in Iraq until the spring of 2008 to meet the military needs. U.S. troops had a rare gunfight with Iraqi police today, killing six. It was suspected the dead had links to Shiite militiamen backed by Iran. In yesterday's report card on the war, the Iraqi government got a failing grade in its efforts to rid the police of militia infiltration. Another Iraqi journalist working for a foreign news agency was shot and killed today in Baghdad. Just yesterday, two working for the Reuters news agency were killed. The Associated Press reports the most recent national intelligence report says Al-Qaeda possesses most of what it needs to launch another attack on U.S. soil. The security analysis also warns the terrorist group is escalating attempts to smuggle operatives into America. On the heels of that report, the U.S. Senate doubled the bounty on Osama bin Laden. In an 87-1 vote this morning, the reward jumped to $50 million for bin Laden's killing or capture. 6 years after 9/11, several victims will have their lawsuits heard against airlines and their security contractors. A New York federal judge scheduled the trials for September. A team from the UN Nuclear Agency is set to arrive in North Korea tomorrow. It will monitor the planned shutdown of that country's nuclear reactor. An oil shipment from South Korea also arrives tomorrow. That was a condition set by Pyongyang before it would consider the shutdown. The UN Nuclear Agency also had some cooperation from Tehran. Following 2 days of meetings, Iran has agreed to permit inspectors to visit its disputed nuclear reactor. A private memorial service was held today in Austin, Texas, for Lady Bird Johnson, former First Lady. This is the Quality News Network.
Terry's Lounge at the Cypress Inn in downtown Carmel invites you to a great evening of your favorite foods, beverages, and live music Thursday through Saturday, featuring Dick Whittington and friends from 6 to 9:30. Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn features an appetizer-sized menu and our famous burger, salad, and fries. Afternoon tea, a great local tradition, is served from 1 to 4 p.m. daily by reservation. Sunday evenings are special as Richard Dibnick entertains from 5 to 8 p.m. with classical renditions of pop, jazz, and classical music. Join the fun, food, and music at Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn, corner of Lincoln and 7th. In downtown Carmel.
Florida's Governor Charlie Crist has signed new environmental protection orders requiring more extensive use of renewable energy and limits on greenhouse gas emissions. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger was at his side. He's adopted similar legislation in the Golden State. The Associated Press reports physicians last month tripled reports to regulators about side effects from the diabetes drug Avendia. In May, it was announced use of the medication increased the risk of heart attacks. The FDA will hold hearings on the drug July 30th. New government statistics from the National Center for Health Statistics find that fewer high school students are having sex. More of them are using condoms, and the teen birth rate is at a record low. The New York Times reports a Consumer Product Safety Commission is preparing tougher safety rules for imports. The new rules would mandate broader inspections of imports and harsher penalties for infractions. Recent unsafe products from China prompted the move. And the U.S. dollar has hit an all-time low against the euro, which has been trading as high as $1.38. The Commerce Department reports retail sales in June were down by the largest amount in nearly 2 years. Light sweet crude is trading at $73.93 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow hit another record, up 45 points at 13,907. The NASDAQ was up 5 and the S&P up 5. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
5 past. A couple of different places. Gosh, I hope we get to this stuff in this hour. Of course, first and foremost, and you know this, you are the most important part of this program, and therefore conversation takes precedence. 304-658-5912. But there are a couple of things, one of which I've already started on, that I think we'll go ahead and deal with. A reminder, by the way, fascinating conversation coming up this evening on Strictly Confidential with our good friend Peter Godbold. At the top of the program, I do understand, if I understand correctly, Peter will be joined by Jody Huckabee. Jody is the executive director of PFLAG. That's Parents and Friends of Lesbian Parents and Families of Lesbians and Gays, PFLAG. It's a great organization. And Jody Huckabee, executive director, will be joining Peter on the program. Now, I don't want you guys to be nervous or anything. Okay? Just settle down. It's okay. But you need to be on your best behavior, because PFLAG has sent out notifications to its 200,000 members about Jody Huckabee's conversation on Strictly Confidential this evening. You guys in the chat room, be nice. I'm kidding, you know that. But yeah, I hope folks can some new folks can hear what we're doing here on the horn and can make the horn part of their daily lives, and let the horn be the resource that we have designed it to be for people. Because, again, I think Dr. Bill shared some of these sentiments that I put on paper earlier today on his program. There's you know, you may have heard Joe Vecchio mention the contest that's out there to provide some funding for organizations that are trying to build progressive infrastructure. If you talk about progressive infrastructure, I can't imagine that there's an organization out there that is doing more to try to build progressive infrastructure than the Horn is. And one of the things that I did note in the essay that was required for the application process is that the Horn is not driven by celebrity egos or celebrity salaries. We're driven by people who work for a living. We're driven by people who get up every day, rain or shine, sick or well, and go and do what they have to do to be a part of making America work to the extent that it still does work. And that's the part of a little miracle that the Horn is. Then again, I don't think much of miracles. The miracles that I am familiar with are brought about by nothing but gut strain and work. And it's my experience that the harder we work, the more miraculous things are. So, you know, as we build the Horn, as we grow the Horn, as you tell your friends about the Horn, as you send out your emails with your signature line on the bottom that says "Get on the Horn," I've seen a lot of them, and we really appreciate it. I hope you know that. Please realize what you're part of, and we're so proud that you choose to be part of it. It means so very much, because this, as far as we're concerned, this is what we can do to help get America. Well, I don't mean to steal our good friend Tony Seton's line, or his title for that matter, but what we can do to get America back on track. Because for lo, these many years of the nightmare that is the George W. Bush administration, and the years of the Republican Congress that kept us from being able to get things done under Bill Clinton that desperately needed to be done, baby, we've been off the rails. We're off the rails and running in quicksand. So you're being an active part of helping helping to expand dialogue, expand discussion, by being part of the Horn is so very important. So very important. And we are so grateful for it. Let's go to the phones. It'd be nice if I could find out who's on the phone first. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Evening, Bob.
How are you?
Well, actually, today's been halfway decent. It's shameful, you know what I mean? You just wonder where the shoe's dropping, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's like that, what was that poster? You said, what a lovely day, now watch some sorry bastard come along and louse it up.
Yeah.
See what they do to us, Luke?
Well, I know. It's shameful. We're becoming pessimists. You know how it is. I used to tell people, I said, you know, I used to be an optimist, so I figured out the pessimist had the better option. That at least they're ready for bad news.
Well, exactly. You know, if you're a pessimist, then you're never disappointed, and you're occasionally pleasantly surprised.
Mm-hmm. But you know how that goes. But at the same time, we don't want to live like that, because, like I say, that's just living under the cloud.
Right.
Okay, let's go on to what we were talking about.
Okay.
Oh, first of all, off topic, you were talking the comedy groups last hour. You were talking something I remember about. You were talking about the Marx Brothers and all that.
Yeah.
I like the obscure ones.
The Ritz Brothers?
Uh-huh. Olson and Johnson?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I grew up, one of the first things I remember ever seeing was some of the stuff of Harold Lloyd.
Oh, mercy.
Which, I mean, some of Harold Lloyd's stuff, you got to think, was done almost a century ago, and it's still, people are still doing the same things today.
Yeah, because it's still funny.
Yeah, it's still basic. You know what I mean? So, but, you know, that's just the way life goes on that. But, okay. Isn't it amazing how all of a sudden we're getting all these leaks out of Homeland Security that are all backing up Mr. Chertoff?
Oh, yeah. The report, and I'm sure you saw, as did I, Keith Olbermann's special comment
on
Chertoff.
Oh, yeah. Good.
And I thought it was kind of bold of him to suggest that the report that came out the day after somebody, after Chertoff's gut rumbled, for Keith to suggest that thing could have been dummied up as to give what substance to his gut.
Sure. I mean, you find the right analyst here. I want it written this way. You know what I mean? It's like the thing with Dick Cheney going down to Foggy Bottom. You know?
Yeah, or the Downing Street memo.
I want I want this news to come out. Here's the line I want you to follow.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And I hate being this paranoid, Luke.
But you know. In where I work, we use numbers all the time, and I keep telling people, I said, look, I can make numbers set up and vague. You know, it just depends on how you want to focus them,
mm-hmm.
You know, which way you want to look at them. I can make numbers tell you any story I want to if I really wanted to.
Well, what's that classic old saying? There are lies, damned lies, and statistics?
Yeah. This too is true. Oh, have we found out that CNN, I wonder if CNN has finally figured it out. We never should have went up and kicked Michael Moore.
No, don't poke Michael with the sharp stick.
Because I see tonight they've got Larry on early tonight. Instead of Paula, he is on.
Well, they say Paula's on the way out. That's why they gave Glenn Beck a trial run in her slot.
Well, I think what it is her contract's up, and I think they've decided not to renew it or whatever.
Well, her ratings are abysmal.
Well, of course. I mean, all you had to do is watch the show, and you understand that. I mean, dear gosh. It's like, say, it's one of those days.
When is CNN going to wise up and find themselves a Keith Olbermann-type program to run?
They had him. His name was Aaron Brown.
Well, there's truth in that. I mean, you know, and I don't know what Aaron's doing these days, but I bet they could get him back with some, you know, a couple of I love you long times and a whole bunch of money.
Well, you said it the other night. You know what we need? A new pair. Aaron Brown and Bill Tush. Come on, listen.
Oh God! Wouldn't that be wonderful? What are you?
I was wondering where Rex is, the Wonder Dog.
Rex, the Wonder Dog. Sure. I love running across people who were there watching the heady early days.
4 a.m. newscast.
Yeah, of don't give a damn WTCG 4 a.m. news with Bill Tush and Rex the Wonder Dog.
Oh gosh, I can't think. There was a girl, a young woman he had on there doing it with him too. I can't think who it was.
Well, she was on Saturday Night Live for a while. Didn't she get an early start with him?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I just can't remember who it was, but I remember there being somebody on there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, darn it, I can't.
But you know what I mean? Tush was the face of WTBS, you know, for 25 years.
Well, like I said, WTCG. I remember when it was that.
But you know what I mean? He was, because like I say, Ted had to follow the rules that you had to have so much news on per 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And Ted figured out that, you know, there's nothing there saying when I have to run it and what we have to cover. So we'll put Bill Tush on at 4 a.m. in the morning.
And some of it was absolute genius.
You know, and he can do entertainment news. you know, and all that, it still qualifies under news.
Sure.
And you know, he might do. They might do the 5 minutes.
Just like broadcasters learned that they could satisfy their public affairs requirement by airing sermons.
Well, yeah, that, and then what was it, the educational thing? Yes, well, we can put on the right cartoons. You know, that's educational. Oh, yeah. You know how it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all those nice little... But the thing gets me right now is like, say, somebody, I heard somebody today talking about, on one of the news shows, talking about, well, why do Democrats keep having these votes? I said, well, I'm sitting here going, all these Republicans, that we've been hearing, have to get the right nomenclature.
They all work.
I know. But all these ones that have been out for these last 2-3 weeks crying, oh, we've got to get out of Iraq. It's like, say, good. Let's keep having these votes. I want them voting. And when they vote against something, I want the commercials ready to run, say, when they go on their August recess and they're all back home.
Mm-hmm.
I want Move On or whoever it is putting up those things, showing one thing with them on one side of the screen, you know, here going, you know, saying, we believe we ought to be getting out of Iraq. Then I want the C-SPAN piece on the other side where them voting yes to keep us in Iraq.
Precisely.
I mean, it's one of those things. It's like, say, you want the publicity when you cry that you want us out of Iraq? Fine. You can get that publicity, but we're also going to get the publicity of you saying we're wanting to stay under George Bush's
yeah, and I, you know, for all their caterwauling, I fully expect that when this resolution that was voted on in the House yesterday reaches the Senate, that I fully expect that Richard Lugar and Pete Domenici and some of these other mugwump Republicans will be right there with their Republican brothers and sisters voting to filibuster the measure.
Just for curiosity, Bob, I did not look it up. I probably need to go in and look it up. Who were the four Republicans that voted with the Democrats?
I don't know, and I don't know who the 10 mugwump Democrats were who voted against it either.
I know. That's something we do need to get, you know, need to start saying, you know, people need to start calling these people.
Yeah.
You need to call the four Republicans and we need to tell them thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, and the 10 Democrats.
But we know from the last time this went through, let's see, there was a Democrat from the Native American area of Oklahoma. And he voted against getting out of Iraq. And there was Gene, I think he was Sarge's congressman while Sarge was still in Mississippi. Gene, and he voted against getting out of Iraq. There's a couple of them. Now, it's also possible that one of those 10 might well have been Dennis Kucinich. Because Dennis has staked out very, very stern property, and he says that the only answer is to stop funding it.
Yeah, where it's like, we're not going to take the halfway measure. It's 100% or nothing.
Yeah, end it now. There's, you know, there's no such thing as a little bit pregnant or almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
I know, but it's one of those things. I meant to do it, and I should have done it, but it's one of those things we really need to keep up with these votes, you know what I mean? And when somebody votes the right way, we need to compliment them, and when they don't, we need to yell at them.
Yeah, once we figured out that they did it for the right reasons.
Yeah, for the right reason. I mean, there are some people, you know what I mean, depends on what it is, you know what I mean.
But you know what's going to happen to this resolution when it gets to the Senate, because King George has already said that I'll get my veto crayon out for it. But it's not going to get vetoed, because it's not going to get out of the Senate. It's going to be killed by the minority again, because the minority rules the Senate in the form of the Republicans, because Harry Reid, as majority leader, will not stand up to these bums and thugs.
I know. It's one of those things where what they need to do is bring this up the last week of July, and, you know, right before the recess, and when the Republicans start killing it, the Democrats say, we're just going to keep talking. We've got at least 40 votes. You ain't got closure. We're going to sit here. We're going to talk for a while. You know, and it's like I say, we're going to keep talking, and we're going to make sure that the press gets the pictures, and they understand that, you know, we want to talk about this, and you all want to shut it up.
And if you don't, if you leave for your little recess while we're still in session, then we're going to vote on it without you, and we're sending it to the president. We're going to make that little punk veto it.
Just dare it, you know. It's like I say, they keep saying, well, we're going to keep our powder dry. Why? Tell me why.
Well, you know, that's the problem with the dry powder.
Make him wear the ink out of that damn veto pen.
Or crayon, sure. And that's the thing. The whole time I thought they were talking about gunpowder, it turns out they were talking about face powder. You know, this is their nose powder, not their gunpowder.
Either that or saltpeter, one or the other, you know.
Oh, that too.
You know, it's one of those things. It's sort of the thing of, you know, I mean, I understand sometimes, you know, you have to pick your fights at the right time, but sometimes it's like saying, dang, well, listen, but you can't keep running away every time either. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. You've got to pick the right time, and you need to.
Yeah, some of this stuff.
And you know you're going to lose. Fine.
Yeah, knowing your head for trivia, Luke. Some of this is Robin, the not quite so brave as Sir Lancelot, saying, "I suggest we confuse them by running away more."
Yeah.
Oh, shut up and go and change your armor.
But you know what I mean. But that unfortunately is to the point, or I guess you know what we're at. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. I think they're just scared of losing, and it's like, you know what, gang? Guess what? You're scared of losing. We all are. You know, we don't want to lose, but sometimes you got to lose before you can win. And like I say, if you ain't in the fight, how do you know you're going to lose?
You cannot win if you do not play.
Yeah.
You know, if you ante up and fold before all the cards are come around, you didn't play in the game.
Well, it's like we always said about the lottery. People say, "Well, it's 10 million to 1 against you winning." I said, "Yeah, but at least I'm playing. I am the one."
Yeah. If you don't buy the ticket, it's 10 million to nothing.
Yeah, and that's really bad odds.
Yeah, I'll never get my retirement at 10 million to nothing. I got a chance 1 in 10 million though if I buy the ticket.
It's one of them things. It's like, say, we used to kid about it. We say, you know, it's about a 60-mile drive up to Harrogate, up where the Tennessee, Kentucky, Virginia border is.
Yeah,
and we used to kid about it. I said, them people up there are fun. They can walk over and buy one ticket. We'll take a 1 mile trip, buy another ticket. Back before we had the lottery here.
Right.
You know, you had to go over to Kentucky, then go over to Virginia.
Well, but it was a nice little weekend drive.
Hey, it's a pretty place up around here. You go up there and go through the tunnel, you know. I went up there one time at Harrogate, and the sun was shining. I went through the tunnel over to the Kentucky side. It was raining.
I've been through that tunnel, and you're absolutely right.
But don't you love those warning signs they've got up there? It sounds like they're hauling atomic waste every time you look at that sign.
Well, you know, considering the location, they might be.
Oh, I'll tell you what, it's sort of like, gosh, we had this idea. Why don't we put a couple more tunnels? You know, if you all want one for hazardous waste, why are you digging these two? Why didn't you all dig a third one?
You know, it's amazing what happens around those tunnels. I think it was about this time last year, Virginia decided to work on the Virginia side of some tunnels that go into lead on into West Virginia. And in the process, they crippled the manufactured housing industry.
Oh,
because they couldn't get the double wides through.
Yeah,
and it was just horrible. I mean, it required like congressional intervention. Oh, it was pitiful.
Well, I mean, when you go through there, you know, when they've got the fans and everything and all that stuff, and you're sitting there going, every time I go through that thing, I go, damn, this makes me feel like I'm in a Die Hard movie.
I know. Yeah. Oh, don't say Die Hard. You make me think of Bruce Willis, and then we're back at last week.
I know, but you know what I mean. It's one of those things where you're driving through there. What was the Stallone had the movie? I call it Stallone pretending to be Willis, the one where he was trapped in the tunnel.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God, it's so bad I can't remember it, but you know what I mean.
I think it was called Stallone Trapped in a Tunnel Just Like Bruce Willis.
Yeah. It's sort of, my career is already over and it's falling down the hole.
Yeah, he's, you know, because there was a nice echo effect every time he yelled, Adrian! Oh, Lord. Luke, you have yourself a good evening. All right, brother?
Have a good weekend.
Take care.
See you.
Bye now. God, I keep forgetting it is Friday. Luke's right. Weekend. Wow, we're running out of time. Okay, story that I want to get to because it does have some audio with it. Now, this audio is probably going to be utterly unintelligible and meaningless to you. And that's not an insult to you. It's unintelligible and meaningless to me as well. What happened is there was an NAACP convention this week, and there was a panel discussion, you know, podiums and the like, and it was agreed that all the Democratic candidates would not address each other or come back at each other. Now, in the course of this discussion, Mike Gravel, the plant, from now on when we say Mike Gravel, we have to say the plant, because somebody has bought and paid for Mike Gravel. And some of this is beginning to become clearer to me now with the breaking of this story. Mike Gravel delivered one of his little scattershot shotgun blasts at Senator Clinton and Senator Obama and former Senator Edwards. And it was, you know, all, you know, what was one of the lines? Who do you think gave you NAFTA? It wasn't the Holy Trinity, it was the Clinton administration. I'm going to go throw another rock in a lake. I'm crazy. Yeah, go sell stereos. I gotta be crazy to sell stereos this cheap. I'm crazy. Mike Gravel, crazier than a sprayed roach. And so he goes on one of these little tirades, which apparently upset Senator Clinton. And she was standing, she was ordered on the podium, as far as I could tell watching the video, you know, talking about TV again, dancing about architecture. She was standing, her podium was next to that of John Edwards. And so what you'll hear in the audio is a lot of noise, but if you listen carefully, you will hear a conversation because this was broadcast by Fox News Channel. Okay? Work with me here. Let's get the paranoia going again. The only problem is, I remind you, that paranoia is the irrational fear that people are out to get you. I don't think there's anything irrational in suggesting that Fox News Channel will do everything in their power to destroy any Democrat they can get within their crosshairs. Why the NAACP made a deal with Fox News Channel to do the broadcast... What the... Not going to say it. So what you're going to hear is some organ music at the close of the panel discussion, and of course, neither Senator Obama nor Senator Clinton nor former Senator Edwards or anybody were allowed to respond to Gravel when he went off on his... And it becomes, like I said, well, we'll do the audio first. So you're going to hear some organ music. You got to wait through the noise. You'll hear, what you're going to hear is... Senator Clinton, not realizing that her mic is still on, going over to John Edwards and having a little discussion. Agnes?
We want to thank all of our candidates for coming out today. Hillary Rodham Clinton, Senator John Edwards, Congressman Dennis Kucinich, Senator Mike Gravel, Governor Bill Richardson, Senator Barack Obama, Senator Christopher Dodd, and Senator Joseph Biden. Again, thank you so much. Thank you very much for coming. Have a great afternoon.
Our guys should talk. And what this was a discussion between John Edwards and Hillary Clinton to limit any future joint appearances to exclude some of what they call their lower-tier rivals. Now, work with me for a moment. I am not insane, and I am not paranoid. I am attuned to the political process. And I know how the dirty stuff works. Okay? Think about this. Gravel is at this thing. And he, in typically insane, blathersome, babbling, crazy old uncle fashion... lashes out at the top-tier candidates as he has been doing at every appearance. This provides the impetus for the so-called top-tier candidates to move to exclude by agreeing together. That's what you heard. Your people should talk, your guys should talk to my guys. It's kind of like Senator Clinton suggesting a sort of an antitrust kind of thing. It'll be Senator Edwards, Senator Clinton, and Senator Obama, and their guys will get together and they'll all agree that neither of those three candidates will show up anywhere that the rest of the candidates are allowed or invited. So look what just happened. because Senator Gravel goes around making an ass of himself, he provides the impetus for excluding Dennis Kucinich from debates. Because no matter the fact that Dennis was right about Iraq, no matter the fact that Dennis was right about health care, no matter the fact that Dennis was right about these so-called free trade agreements, no matter that Dennis was right about the attack on the middle class, no matter the fact that Dennis was right about what's being done to organized labor and working people in general in this country, no matter the fact that Dennis is dead on 100% correct about every blessed issue that is under our consideration and has been right about those issues for years on end, as opposed to crafting positions based on polling data and triangulation, no matter all of that, Dennis Kucinich must be marginalized out of the race and must be continually referred to as a second-tier candidate. Now, you tell me I'm paranoid. You tell me I'm wrong. You tell me I've misread this one. And I'll listen to you when you do, but I don't think I am. You see, by taking a plant like Gravel and letting him go in and do the dirty work, they get to exclude Dennis. I told you a couple of nights ago, I shared the idea with Mike Malloy as well, and friend that he is, Mike Malloy put the idea out there too, for your consideration. Mike Gravel. Mike Gravel? Gravel, whatever. Yeah, Mike. I'm getting to see too many Mikes. Gravel is a stalking horse. Gravel is an excuse. Gravel is the kid who sits in the back of sixth grade chomping his gum so that the teacher then looks up and sternly says, "He's the problem, therefore none of you can have gum." You understand? I'm not asking, do you understand, because I think you've got some problem processing the information. I'm asking you if I am laying this out in a cogent fashion. I told you that Gravel was there to marginalize and pull away from and do harm to the candidacy of Dennis Kucinich. The fact of the matter is, there is one top-tier candidate running for the Democratic nomination for president right now, and that is Dennis Kucinich. Senator Clinton, Senator Obama, Senator Edwards, Governor Richardson, Senator Dodd. Those are all just people who are trying to, who are measuring their political worth by money. If we give a damn about what's going to happen to this country, we had better pay attention to ideas. And if we do that, there is only one top-tier candidate running for the Democratic nomination, and that is Dennis Kucinich. Period. Against the war, John Edwards voted for it. Well, yes, he repented. Good on him. Senator Obama says, well, he would have if he could have, and he should have, but he wasn't in the Senate, so he doesn't have to have any accountability.
Nah.
Senator Clinton is what you get when you go to the IHOP. She waffles. Waiting to see which way the American... politics as usual, in other words. Only Dennis Kucinich has stood steadfast and had the guts and the integrity and the nerve to tell the American people what's going on and how to fix it. But because of stalking horse, goofy old Gravel, Senator Clinton gets caught basically conspiring with Senator Edwards to try to keep Dennis Kucinich out of the race. And I'm not the only one saying this. Top campaign officials for Dennis Kucinich have expressed outrage that Hillary Clinton and John Edwards were overheard collaborating on a strategy to eliminate other Democratic candidates from future debates and forums. According to the Associated Press, Fox News Channel microphones picked up Clinton and Edwards on stage discussing their desire to limit future joint appearances to exclude some rivals lower in the crowded field. See how the framing works? Quote, "We should try to have more serious and a smaller group," Edwards said into Clinton's ear following a presidential forum in Detroit. She agreed, Mrs. Clinton did. "We've got to cut the number. They're not serious. And we've got to get back to it." Dennis Kucinich replied, "Candidates, no matter how important or influential they perceive themselves to be, do not have and should not have the power to determine who is allowed to speak to the American people and who is not. Imperial candidates are as repugnant to the American people and to our democracy as an imperial president." You watch. You watch. Because you see, most of America hasn't seen this. Most of America isn't paying attention. Most of America is asleep at the switch. You're not. You're here every night. You're here in the mornings with John Fox and Joe Vecchio. You're here in the afternoons with Guy James, with Dr. Bill O'Brien, with Mark Levine. You're here late night with Peter Godbold. And you, by virtue of doing all of that, are informed. And because you're informed, you know what's going on. Because you're informed, you know how the system is being gamed. And in seeing the system gamed, you are every bit and more disgusted than I am. Oh, the smarminess of it.
"We've got to cut the number. They're not serious."
Senator Clinton, there is no human being more serious about the Iraq War than Dennis Kucinich is. I would submit to you, Senator Clinton, that he is about a million times more serious about the Iraq War than you will ever be. Oh, damn, I bet nobody's going to pay for me to have a $2,300 ticket to be Senator Clinton's friend now. Senator Clinton, you are arrogant. Senator Clinton, you are too arrogant to hold the office of the presidency of the United States, because that should be an office whose first requirement is humility, and you have none, madam. Oh, don't worry, Senator Clinton. If you get the nomination, I'll march my happy ass to the voting booth, and I'll vote for you, because they're going to run some goober against you from the Republican Party, and I'll sit there and I'll know that I am choosing the lesser of two evils. And because I am choosing the lesser of two evils, I will also know, because I don't play any mind games with myself, Senator Clinton, that I have chosen evil just the same.
"They're not serious. They're not serious. We've got to get back to it. Have your guys call my guys. We'll make sure that these little troublemakers like Kucinich don't ruin our plans for, what we want to do. I mean, if Dennis gets in, then he wants to do national single-payer health care, and what'll happen to all my buddies in the insurance industry who've given me all the damn money? What'll happen to my pharmaceutical donor friends if Dennis gets in? Why, he might actually make them pay attention and behave with some level of ethics. We can't have that."
This is sickening. Yeah, you know what? The fix was in. This was done by Fox News. It may be the only thing of value that they have ever done. the curtain got pulled back. And the shame of it, her sitting there negotiating with John Edwards and John nodding up and down that he agrees with her. You know, John Edwards and Dennis Kucinich in 2004 had an agreement in the Iowa caucuses that whoever came out on top of that between the two would get the other's votes. Because Dennis Kucinich recognized that John Edwards is a decent man. But I don't know what's happened to John Edwards to make him engage in this kind of sleazy politics. And Mike Gravel provides the impetus for getting Dennis Kucinich out of the way, because Dennis Kucinich is a dangerous, dangerous man. Dennis Kucinich believes in the Constitution of the United States of America. Dennis Kucinich is not motivated by the desire for a Patriot Act or a North American Free Trade Agreement. Dennis Kucinich is motivated by the idea that the United States, from the moral high ground, should engage not in free trade, but in fair trade. And if you see the video, you'll see that Dennis walks over to her and shakes her hand. Oh, thanks, Dennis. And then she says to John Edwards, our people need to talk. I am not interested in government by conspiracy. And that, what you heard, that audio, is, by God, a conspiracy. A conspiracy, by definition, is an agreement by two or more people. Now, it's not an illegal act that they're agreeing to commit. It's not a criminal conspiracy, but it is a conspiracy. And it is a conspiracy against the only ideas that might actually begin to save this nation. Half measures will not suffice after 8 long, miserable years of the Dick Cheney, George Bush administration. America doesn't have a flesh wound. America has a sucking chest wound, and palliative care will not suffice. A little bit more, a little bit different won't get the job done. I told you, I had no idea this was coming. I told you a few nights ago that Mike Gravel was in the race to minimize Dennis Kucinich, and by God, here is the proof. Do you understand now why it is imperative that Dennis Kucinich have the nomination as the Democratic candidate for the presidency? Do you understand how utterly important it is? How vitally important it is? He is the only man or woman in the entire field capable of saving this once great nation. It seems abundantly clear to me that that is the fact. So there's about 17 minutes left in the program. If you want to get involved, please feel free to do so. 304-658-5912. If not, I got one more thing for you. We're going to go back to Ms. Palfrey's list of business associates. You won't be surprised. This is America's liberal voice. This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Don't you know that the sound of the men working on the chain? Gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain.
Yoo-hoo.
Hello.
Hey, Al.
Excuse me, sir. Mr. Gore.
Hello.
Hey, Al. It's the Vice President.
Mr. Gore, we need you for president.
We deserve a president we can respect.
We deserve a president we can respect. Who has experience.
And compassion.
Who is the most qualified.
Who is a proven leader.
Al Gore. Right on Iraq. Right on global warming. Right for the 21st century.
Join us at DraftGore.com and supporting Al Gore for the Democratic nomination for president.
Sign the petition at DraftGore.com.
Paid for by the committee to draft Gore. He won once. He can win again.
Bring it on!
Your calendar for Saturday evening, July 21st. Because at 9 p.m. until midnight Eastern, Billy Shears will be right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn. You're going to just love night sounds. We'll have plenty of great music and more. So, is it a date? We'll be waiting for you, Saturday night, July 21st. Be there.
Carry on now.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be ye warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
That's the Big Dipper over there.
Yellow and blue make green.
Well, a cow pie really isn't a pie.
Come on, Chris, open your eyes!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
Change before the hour. Oh, God. I hope I can remember and hang on to some of this stuff until Monday, because there's stuff we've got to talk about. But I do want to finish up with the Palfrey phone list, because it is important to nail rotten bastards whenever the opportunity arises and catch them and bust them. In the business with David Vitter and his diaper fetish and his multiple trips to multiple hookers, we've possibly lost sight of one guy whose number, as they say, has also come up. You familiar with John M. Jack Berkman? Why, he's shown up as an expert, because he runs John M. Jack Berkman and Associates of 1530 Key Boulevard, number 1222, Arlington, Virginia. He's a Republican, baby. He's a lobbyist. And he's not just any lobbyist. No, sir. He's a special Republican family values lobbyist, and he was engaged in business with Ms. Palfrey and Pamela Martin and Associates. Why, he was the lobbyist for, wait for it, hey Peter, you out there, you're going to love this, he was the lobbyist for the Family Research Council. Yeah, you know the Family Research Council. Tony Perkins?
Norman!
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that Family Research Council. Brother Dobson. Dr. Dobson, who couldn't apply a Band-Aid without killing somebody. Yeah, focus on the family's little internal captive riot-generating organization. Yeah, that Family Research Council. The Family Research Council that brought you Sunday Justice Sunday, where they had freaks stand up and scream that marriage is an institution founded by God for the union of a man and a woman. That Family Research Council. Their lobbyist, Jack Berkman, has a thing for hookers. And, of course, Jack Berkman is not a single guy either. Nope, he's got him some family values because he's got him a wife and some cheerins. And he has responded after having been caught on the business list of Pamela Martin and Associates. Web allegations are simply and completely false, driven by a group of left-wing people seeking to intimidate conservatives and independents. As my viewers and readers know, I usually do not respond to silliness on the Internet, but in this case, given the national and international coverage and the fact that my number turned up as being connected with a brothel, no, I added that part, I feel I must. The recent allegations concerning solicitation are false lies. Wait a minute. Wait. He's a lobbyist. He's a wordsmith. Wait a minute, sunshine. They're false lies. That means they're truth. Dr. Freud, emergency, come right away, are false lies. A false lie is the truth, isn't it? Come on, linguists, work with me here. They've been printed and reprinted by websites with a long and intense history of harassing me and trying to stop my commentary. Now, we don't want to stop your commentary, Jack. This ain't about your commentary, Jack. This is about you being a stinking, filthy, whoremongering hypocrite, Jack. None of the sites even so much as contacted me for comment, but I can assure you that they will not succeed. My family and I have been through this before. During impeachment in the 90s, every form of illegitimate pressure that could be brought to bear was brought to bear in an attempt to silence me, but they failed, and 7 years later, my commentary continues unabated and unfazed, and it always will. Thank you for watching and reading, Jack Berkman. There's only one problem. Jack Berkman has been repeatedly commentated by bloggers. And he won't respond. Jack Berkman, Family Values. Now, Ms. Palfrey responded to the bloggers. This and any calls to the Washington area were business, i.e., escort service related. You're busted, Jack Berkman. Your Family Research Council is busted, Jack Berkman. Why don't you roll over on Tony Perkins and let's find out if he's into diapers or watermelons or who knows what? Because, you see, as long as people consent, I don't care. But again, it's not about the sex. It's about the hypocrisy. But then again, you take a good look at Tony Perkins and you realize you're not dealing with somebody who probably likes to have anything remotely resembling normal hetero or homosexual sex. And there are norms. Okay. No. Tony Perkins is the kind of guy I wouldn't leave my children alone with, okay? Or Jack Berkman. God only knows what was going on. But please, David Vitter, family values guy? Sure, but there's another family values guy out there, and baby, oh, this one's got legs and it's got teeth, because the teeth are into the meat of the heart of the family values crowd. Because this goes to the Family Research Council and the focus on the family. Remember, please, James Dobson has advocated that full-grown men take little boys into the showers naked with them and show their, and the men are supposed to show their Johnsons to the little boys to keep them from being gay. Dobson said that. Oh, Jack Berkman, you're busted, buddy. You're cold stone busted. And the longer you wait to deal with it, to deal with the fact that you are a busted trafficker in whores. Sorry, no offense. The worse it's going to be. And the more you're going to deserve everything that rains down on you, Jack Berkman. Not for your sex, but for your evil, vile, vituperative hypocrisy. So that's it. Thanks, everybody. Remember, coming up next, Strictly Confidential with Peter Godbold. Stick around. Thanks, Agnes, for producing. Thank you, Peter Godbold, for being our IT consultant and the very best there it possibly could be. Thanks, John Fox, our out-of-pocket engineer. Hopefully he'll be hotting up and running with his highfalutin new internet service very, very soon. Ben Birch is the hardest working man in liberal talk, and he proves it every day with every program that rolls across the horn. Many thanks to the United Brotherhood of Carpenters, who helped us get this network started, and in so doing are helping us to save the American dream while they build the American dream. Happy birthday, cobwebs! I've got scotch bottles older than you. And by the way, if you haven't, please help us keep this going by using the donate button there at headonradionetwork.com. We do sincerely appreciate it. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
federal police have formally charged a 27-year-old Queensland doctor with his involvement in the botched bombing attempts in London and Glasgow a couple of weeks ago. The suspect was arrested at the Brisbane airport last week with a one-way ticket home to India. He's the second cousin of two other doctors in the cell in London. In an exclusive interview with a Pakistani journalist to be aired tonight on ABC, Taliban military commander Mansour Dadullah said the failed bombing attempts in London and Glasgow were not enough and that bigger attacks were on the way. Dadullah was the commencement speaker at an al-Qaeda training camp last month. Footage of his address shows him issuing orders for suicide bombers to go forth and stage attacks in the U.S., the U.K., Canada, and Germany. He adds that al-Qaeda and Taliban militants travel freely in Pakistan's tribal areas. He said, quote, "We have many friends," end quote. The Senate has upped the bounty on Osama bin Laden to $50 million. The Senate's action comes in response to the draft national intelligence estimate on the al-Qaeda threat in America, saying that the terror organization is, quote, regrouped to an extent not seen since 2001, end quote. The president said at a press conference yesterday, the interim progress report on the Iraq war is cause for optimism. And after 2 months of testimony, the prosecution rested its case in Miami today against Jose Padilla and his two co-defendants. The defense will state its case next week. The men face life in prison if convicted on various terrorism charges. Security has been tightened across Pakistan in the wake of the battle at Islamabad's Red Mosque. Revenge attacks are feared as many worshippers at other mosques filed out today chanting for jihad. The fighting has flared back up in the Palestinian settlement north of Tripoli. Lebanese army is shelling Fatah al-Islam fighters holed up inside the all-but-deserted encampment. The terrorists have been firing at the camp's adjoining villages. 31,000 refugees fled the settlement just last month. As part of the aid for disarmament pact agreed upon in February, tanker ships laden with fuel oil are on their way to North Korea. UN inspectors will be on hand to verify Pyongyang's nuclear generation shutdown tomorrow. Iran has agreed to permit inspectors to visit their reactor. Two New York teenagers have been arrested on charges that they were plotting to blow up a high school on Long Island. And tomorrow, a private funeral will be held for Lady Bird Johnson. This is the Quality News Network, Science and Business Next.
If you're a news junkie, there's a book you must read called Don't Mess with the Press, How to Write, Report, and Produce Quality Television News. Don't Mess with the Press is a textbook for journalism students and a handbook for people already in the business. While written primarily as an instructional guide, Don't Mess with the Press is also useful for people who follow the news closely, who want to understand how news decisions are made by quality reporters to ensure they get the best news coverage possible. Don't Mess with the Press was written by Tony Seaton, founder and executive producer of the Quality News Network. Tony began his broadcast journalism career in his teens, eventually covering Watergate, six elections, five space shots, and a wide range of general news. He also produced Barbara Walters' news interviews for ABC. Ordering information for Don't Mess with the Press can be found at qualitynewsnetwork.com. Visit our website and click on the Don't Mess with the Press link.
Thousands of people have been evacuated from Okinawa. A typhoon there is slamming southern Japan. In New York, the Coast Guard is tugging an oil tanker off the beach, off Coney Island actually, on board 23 million gallons of diesel. A federal report released today says the U.S. teenage birth rate has dropped to a record low. Media mogul Conrad Black and three of his colleagues were found guilty by a federal jury in Chicago today for multiple counts of fraud and obstruction of justice. The four were found guilty of pocketing money that should have gone to shareholders. Two-buck Chuck, the popular $2-a-bottle Charles Schwab Chardonnay sold at Trader Joe's, beat out 350 other Chardonnays, some retailing for as much as $150, to win the gold medal, first place, at the California State Fair Wine Competition. At least 78,000 Californians who obtained subprime mortgages from AmeriQuest are eligible to split $51 million.